about.
Is there something weird going on?
We're going to do some unpleasant business, and I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Name a song, though. I'll sing it for you.
That's okay.
No, go ahead. I got a photographic memory for music.
Okay, Single Ladies.
Not familiar with that one.
Uptown Funk.
Don't know it.
Dancing Queen.
Nope.
Thriller? Michael Jackson?
You can't name a song by some guy you went to middle school with. It has to be popular.
Yeah, hey guys, it's Steve. I'm not going to be able to make it in today. Somebody else is going to have to hit it.
And now.
I've always had people say, Donald, you have the most beautiful hands.
Our feature presentation.
God.
That was said. You didn't edit that together to make it sound like he said that?
Of course that was said.
Wow. I love that so much. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday. It's the 13th of October.
Magnificent!
Oh, wow.
What?
First time, right?
Uh-huh.
First time this month.
Should I try it again?
Yeah. What's Come happening? On, guys.
Morning, everybody. It's Thursday, the 13th of October.
You got cocky with that high-fiving, right?
Yeah.
Didn't have any of those kind of mistakes yesterday.
Well,
we had a real talent behind the board. But somebody knew what he was doing running things around here.
Is that right?
So, welcome into the program for Thursday. We do have a lot to get to. Nope, didn't say that.
Sorry.
I want to start with Allie's night, though.
Okay.
Because it sounds terrifying, Allie.
What?
The thing that happened to you last night in your neighborhood.
Oh, no, that was Monday night.
Was it Monday?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's a nationwide thing that lots of people are experiencing right now, and
there are lots
of lawsuits flying around about it.
Did not know.
Oh, okay.
Any of this. Yeah, so I'm just watching a little TV Monday night, which it wasn't TV. I was just laying in my bed, and I was sad. And I'm hearing the most insane sounds, like...
Wow.
That bad. And I'm thinking, okay, is that a baby? Is it a cat? What the heck is that? But who's killing it, essentially?
Right.
And this goes on for a bit. And then I hear what sounds like an animal or something in a box, like trying to fight its way out. Something is happening. Can't figure it out.
Okay.
I finally get up, look through my back window, and there's three people just kind of standing there and some other random guy. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Now, let me stop you right there.
Okay.
Are any of them creepy clowns?
Not one.
Okay.
Oh, were you disappointed?
I kind of was, because I'd be like, all right, it's the creepy clowns. They've come here to kill me.
Love it.
Still not quite sure what it was. And I thought, do I call the police? Are they having like some weird ritual animal killing? I don't know what's happening in my back garage area.
Now, did you think of walking over there and asking them?
Absolutely
not.
No,
because you were scared.
Because the noises were insane.
Well,
and then
sounds,
I thought, oh,
it sounds
my
like
God.
American Horror Story.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sounds horrible.
But then I started getting freaked out that, oh, my God, maybe they have, like, feral cats or a raccoon in their house.
Okay.
And now it's going to obviously get in my house, because that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reasonable guess, by the way, is that they were trying to capture some animal.
Yeah.
That was out there, a raccoon or something.
That's
that makes sense.
I thought. I was having all sorts of thoughts. I also then had a Diet Dr. Pepper, which didn't happen to be caffeine-free. So I was up all night anyway. But then I'm up all night thinking, well, I'm going to get killed because they're going to come back and kill another thing in a box, and I won't know what it's all about.
Okay.
Cut to my neighbor driving yesterday. I tell him this story. He's like, you're nuts. No one heard that. You're crazy.
Right.
Okay, fine.
Which is what all of us are thinking at this
absolutely.
Point.
Absolutely.
Okay.
My neighbor's driving, listening to NPR, and listening to this ritual that some Jewish people do in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
Is that right?
And I don't remember the name of it now.
The Kapparot.
Kapparot.
Where they kill an animal?
They swing a chicken above their heads. No, don't laugh. The chicken somehow gets their sins put into the chicken.
Right.
And then they sacrifice the chicken. And it's supposed to be given to the needy or to charity, to the poor, that type of thing.
The chicken is?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I was hearing.
So what? It was a religious ceremony?
Yes. Why in my back garage area? In the middle of Los Angeles.
You must have an Orthodox Jew who lives nearby, I would imagine.
That's an Orthodox thing?
It's Orthodox Jewish. The ritual practiced in some Orthodox Jewish communities involves swinging a chicken above one's head in a bid to transfer one's sins from the past year onto the animal, a belief similar to the biblical ritual of the scapegoat. Do you guys have any idea that the scapegoat was a thing from the Bible?
No, I did not.
Some Jews who
practice... It seems less loud, though. I like that.
Some Jews who practice the folk ritual use money wrapped in white cloth as a substitute for the chicken. The ritual is typically done on the eve of Yom Kippur, which took place this week from Tuesday night until Wednesday night. So that would make sense, then, that you heard it on Monday night.
Wow.
Chickens used in the ceremony were once given to the poor, but are now generally disposed of because of food handling laws. Now, the reason this is in the news so much this year, and by the way, this isn't the first year this has happened, is because lawsuits always fly, and there's one right now that's going on in the state of California for a synagogue down in Irvine. There's a lawsuit from a company called United Poultry Concerns. It's an animal rights group, and they say that you shouldn't be allowed to ritually slaughter an animal in a religious ceremony. Which has got to be – that's got to be a – that's a tough argument when it's legal to raise chickens and kill them in your backyard for food.
Right.
So I don't know how this is going to end up playing out, but there have been lots of cases throughout the years. I was reading quite a bit about this yesterday. There are lots of cases around and it seems like that most of the time the law sides with those who are practicing their religious faith.
Wow.
And not with the animal rights folks.
What do you do if you're Allie and you're trying to get to sleep and they're swinging a freaking chicken?
I mean, if you would have maybe sent a note saying, hey, here's what
heads
we're
going
to do. Heads up. So I wouldn't be like, oh, here's something, say something. Like, I seriously kept thinking in my mind, if I call now, I feel like they're almost done. Are the police going to come and be like, excuse me, what's in the box? What's in the box? It was just freaking me out. And then to have, first of all, I told my mom and dad, they're like, honey, you need more sleep. What's
right.
happening?
Sure.
They were concerned.
Sure, and they should be.
Less caffeinated soda.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Had my neighbor not been driving at that point and listening to NPR, mm-hmm. I would still be thinking something crazy is going on in the back of my
but
garage.
Here's the thing. This could be what Bean just described, but it also could be something satanic or something.
Why?
With some killers in your backyard.
It's pretty likely that there was a swinging chicken ceremony.
It's possible. Sure. I'm saying there are other options.
It's been going on, by the way, for over 2,000 years, and I don't like the idea of killing an animal for fun.
I don't like it happening in the middle of Los Angeles.
They're not doing
it on
it for
a
fun.
Farm so I can eat the tasty chicken, but not in my backyard.
I remember years ago when I lived in Santa Clarita, we had a Muslim family that lived in the neighborhood. And I guess this is a tradition in that faith. During Ramadan, you kill a sheep.
Oh, wow.
Or a goat. And they had a sheep that I just, you know, I had sheep as pets. And here they were a few houses down and they had a sheep in their yard that just mysteriously showed up a few days before Ramadan.
Hmm.
And then it wasn't there anymore.
Oh.
And I thought, how awful that they're going out into their yard and slitting this sheep's throat. You know, it's a terrible thing for me to think about. But then I think people kill animals all the time for food. Is it any different? I mean, are we going to put
a distinction
on?
Right?
Massive
well,
I mean, seriously.
Right?
Chickens are
anyway,
sheep.
So that's what Allie heard, and if you've heard that, then now at least you know a little bit about it. I didn't know nearly as much about it then and as I do now, but that's...
I'm thinking of introducing myself to my new neighbors, though. Reading up about you. Finding out a lot about your culture. How's
just
it going?
Making sure that that's what you were
like
doing.
Just do a little walkthrough of the house to make sure everything's okay. That'd
and,
be great.
And maybe they'll have you over for a tasty chicken dinner while you're at it.
And maybe next time a heads up.
Right.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
This is so not sexy.
The Wheel of Bad Animal Voices is back.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
How about that?
How about that?
We have a listener to thank for that, Kevin. On What's Good yesterday, a caller complained that we weren't doing the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, and Ralph tried to say that it sucked, and he was outvoted.
Wow. As Ralph was explaining, like, what the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices was, the guy was laughing just at the explanation. And we're like, listen to the joy. Just the explanation is bringing him.
We were just getting more and more excited about hearing it again once we started talking about it. And Ralph very kindly agreed to do it today.
One more try.
Now, if it goes well today, then...
Then maybe we try it again.
All right.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
But checking. I'm looking forward to it.
Talking Dodgers playoffs with Petros Papadakis on the show today. We have Ashley Esqueda from CNET in talking about PlayStation VR and Samsung Note 7. We have Green Day tickets for you. They're playing Monday at the Palladium and then this coming Wednesday in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. And
by the way, those tickets coming up in like 15 minutes.
That's right. You get tickets to both of those in 15 minutes. And we have Dr. Drew on the show as well, talking about Beer Mug's butt. So that's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Ralph Garman steps in. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning. What's going on, Mr. Garman?
This kind of stuff just scares the crap out of me.
What
not,
kind of stuff?
Not like Ali's chicken murder, but in a different kind of fear. Tommy Ford, you may know him, a very talented, funny man. Was on shows like New York Undercover, The Jamie Foxx Show, The Parkers. Probably best known for his work on the sitcom Martin with Martin Lawrence.
Okay.
He was on all five seasons of that. Very funny guy. Passed away Sunday in an Atlanta hospital at the age of 52 years from an abdominal aneurysm. You know what that is?
No, I don't know what that is.
There are many large arteries that run through your body, Kevin. And an aneurysm is a weakness in the wall of one of those arteries. Usually okay. They'll balloon out. But here's the thing. Often, you have no idea you have one.
Yeah.
Even if it happens, you don't know?
My mom had a brain aneurysm.
If you have an aneurysm, a weakness in the walls of a major artery, often, unless they're looking for it, you don't even know you have it.
Okay.
The problem is, because of that weakness, because of the thinness of that, it can just go.
Oh, wow.
And when that happens, you bleed out. And unless you get almost immediate medical attention, that's all she wrote.
And you probably have no idea what's going on if it's
Boom.
You. Wow.
You're gone.
That doesn't seem good.
It's terrifying. You know, you could be walking around as a ticking time bomb and not even know it, and then boom, you're gone? F this world, right? Get me a chicken to swing over my head quick.
You know how confusing these aneurysms are to me, who believes that there should be lots of advance warning on everything that bad
right,
happens
right.
to
your body. Being things you should get a letter in the mail
yeah.
from the National Aneurysm Committee
yeah. that you have to sign for.
Yeah.
Just so
yeah.
they know you got it.
How do you just have a heart attack? He was just on stage. And then he's a heart attack. How does that happen?
Look, I know you continue
Has
to mock me.
Has something happened
that.
To our Bean?
Yes.
No. I'm telling you, the last couple weeks.
Two,
absolutely.
3 weeks. Right? You've noticed it, too.
Very much so.
There's been something
There's been
going
an
on.
Issue. Yeah.
When I think heart attacks, I think generally people who are sedentary and obese. But in
Why?
That case, that was Gabriela Iglesias, who was doing a 2.5-hour concert a couple of nights before and was in tremendous shape.
How about Jim Fix, legendary marathon runner Jim Fix?
Well, he was a douchebag.
Who was sitting at home watching television after one of his many, many marathons where he was in peak of cardiovascular health. Boom. Good night.
Look. Obviously, it happens.
No, you look.
I'm agreeing with you. Yes, that's my point. Is it's confusing to me that it does happen sometimes for people that you would not think would be at a risk for a heart attack. But this thing that you're talking about with Tommy Ford is even more terrifying.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
I don't like it either.
Something's going on.
Right.
It's probably voodoo. He's in New Orleans now. It's probably voodoo.
Somebody put a spell on him.
Some kind of voodoo thing.
That's right.
Someone's got a little tiny bean... doll. Well, in Bean's case, it'd be a big doll. But there's pins going in his head or
yep,
something.
Yep, that's happening.
We have to talk to Mama Voodoo.
Get Who's Mama Voodoo?
Get the spell taken off. She's the voodoo priestess.
Marie Laveau.
Down there. All right. Speaking of dead people, Forbes magazine, which, as I've always said, exists only now to release lists of rich celebrities, has released their annual list of the richest dead celebrities.
Jesus?
No. He did not make the top 10. I don't think he was big on the money.
Really. Joe Millionaire.
Contrary to his name,
right?
You would think
right?
he would be on the list, but he is not on the list of top 10 dead celebrities. Richest dead celebrities, that is. So you want to take any you want to hazard to guess who's on the list of the top 10 richest dead celebrities?
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson is number one, Kevin.
Boom.
Elvis.
See?
There's voodoo down south Wait. In New Orleans, and there's voodoo here. Kevin's knowing stuff.
Yeah.
He's got that hole in his head yeah. where they pump the brains in. Everything's up. We're in the upside down.
We're in the upside
That's
down.
That's what's going on.
Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley, fourth on the list, Allie. Good guess.
Lady Gaga!
Lady Gaga is not dead.
Still alive.
So Biggie Smalls is the illest.
She's not eligible.
He is dead.
He is, but he's not on the list of top 10.
Liquid Larry.
Did not make the list this year. But
I'm surprised because he does good work.
He's great. I have all his collectibles. I know he's got a big collectibles market
I'll
for Liquid
I'll throw a name into the hat.
You've seen the list.
How about Prince?
Prince is fifth on the list with $25 million. By the way, I didn't give you the numbers. Michael Jackson's... annual earnings?
Yes.
Let me see. I think this is annual. Yeah. Yeah. Annual earnings. $825 million.
No, sir.
Wow.
Yeah. Largely because his publishing catalog was sold for $750 million this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about John Lennon?
Lennon. Good guess. Eighth on the list.
Thank you.
I seem to remember from years past, well. Ralph, that Charles Schulz is somewhere on that list.
You're right. It makes me furious. The second.
Yay!
Second on the
Charles
list.
Schultz,
made $48 million on the most unfunny comic strip. Shouldn't even be called a comic strip. Just called a strip.
Yeah.
Just for writing that strip.
You couldn't be more wrong.
That is just,
it's not fun. I mean, it's never been funny. But you,
funny
just, you could like it, but it's not
thing
funny.
Ever.
It's wonderful.
Oh, the doctor is in. Give me a nickel. Oh, I'm sad. F all those Peanuts kids.
The best.
But props to that guy for making $48 million last right? year on that nonsense.
Only upside is he's dead. It's the only it's the only silver lining to the clouds.
How dare you, sir.
At least he can enjoy it. That makes me feel good.
I said Prince already. I don't know if this guy
Prince?
Makes enough money, but it's David Bowie. Did he make the list this year?
David Bowie just outside the top 10 with number 11. At number 11 with 10.5
What
million.
About Prince?
That's a good guess.
Thank
There's
you.
A brand new death on the list.
Oh.
Oh. Ooh.
Somebody. Which I think is kind of unfair because he was alive for most of the year when he made his money, and then he just died.
Rat scabies
did not... Did not make the list. Jean-Claude Van Johnson. Nope. I'll give you this one because you'll never guess.
Count Smokula?
No.
Okay.
Arnold Palmer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Palmer, wow. Never would have guessed that.
Was
yeah.
How was he making that much money?
Third on the list with $40 million. That's what he made
Arnold
this year.
What was Arnold Palmer doing?
Selling a lot of drinks. A
lot of half iced tea, half lemonade.
I guess.
That was just a very wow. popular this year. A lot of he gets a nickel every time somebody orders one. Of
those. Realize that.
$40 yeah. million.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed
That's
that.
That's shocking. I would have guessed any golfer.
He's got a ton of golfing products. And,
oh, is that what it is?
There's a whole line of clothing
merchandise.
And merchandise and clubs and everything, so I'm sure that's how he earned his money. Bob Marley was sixth.
Sure.
Oh, sure.
Theodore Geisel. Theodore Geisel was seventh. Oh. Kevin, of course, you know Theodore Geisel is?
The Postmaster General.
Right? It's Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss.
It's Dr. Seuss's real name, Theodore Geisel.
Fan Bing Bings.
Fan didn't make it. Albert Einstein did, though.
No.
Einstein.
What?
Ninth on the list.
Einstein
How is he
bagels,
making money?
Something
T-shirts?
Like that?
No, Albert, he's not the bagel company.
Albert Einstein, the smart guy?
What?
Well, here's the thing.
It's a good question. How is he making that money?
You need to know, first of all, he's very popular in terms of merch. There's a lot of... There's a lot of posters and T-shirts and stuff with his image on it.
All over Hollywood Boulevard.
Yes.
Okay, but
how much?
But also, there's a very popular learning program called Baby Einstein.
Interesting.
And his estate licensed out his name to be used in that product.
Wow.
So that makes sense.
A lot of money came from that.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
She didn't make the list, Rodney. At number 10, Betty Page. Pin-up girl Betty Page, 10th with $11 million.
Wow.
So, there you go. Those are your
Alexander rich. The Great.
Those are rich dead people.
Jesus Christ, that's Jason Bourne.
Nope, we have finished the list.
Oh, we're done.
Cato Kalin.
No, he's alive. Even if he was dead, I don't think he'd be making that much money.
Today's celebrity,
no, Becky didn't make this. Today's celebrity birthdays. Doc Rivers, coach for the L.A. Clippers, is 55 years old today. His first name? Kevin, you know Doc's first name?
Yes, Doc.
Nope, that's his nickname.
That's his nickname, Doc. Doctor. It's short for doctor.
His real first name?
Paul. I don't know.
Glenn. Rivers. Glenn Rivers.
Oh, that's a terrible first name.
Why?
It just is. Glenn. Doc is so much cooler.
Glenn is not an awful name.
Isn't Doc cooler?
Well, of course.
All right.
But it's not a name.
I rest my case.
But it doesn't mean that Glenn is a bad name. Just
I don't
because
know.
Something's cooler than it.
It makes a great point.
Thank you, Alex. Yeah.
Glenn!
It's like he's like a lawyer watching him work. That was great.
Right?
He's a logic machine, our Kevin. Actress Kate Walsh is 49 years old today. Sacha Baron Cohen, 45 years old today. Former television host Billy Bush celebrates. Well, he doesn't really celebrate. He's just
he's not having a very good birthday.
He's having a birthday today. He's 45. DJ Paul of 3-6 Mafia is 39 years old today. Ashanti is 36. And Caleb McLaughlin, Lucas from Stranger Things turns 15 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show up his beat.
Thank you, Ralph. You want to win tickets to see Green Day Monday at the Hollywood Palladium and then here at the Red Bull Sound Space. You can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. You got to know Green Day music. Call now. We'll play again.
The K-Rock Show Biz Beat is brought to you by Dell. Dell's XPS 30.
Our friend Ashley Escada talks all things tech from CNET, joining us in studio next hour. And our weekly visit with Dr. Jupinski is coming up as well. First, though, got to take care of some business. This a lot of excitement around Green Day coming to K-Rock. I got to be honest. Having those guys in the Red Bull Sound Space, that's going to be next Wednesday. A couple nights before that, they'll be playing at the Hollywood Palladium. We want to give you tickets for both. If you're a Green Day fan, and I assume you are if you're on the phone right now, we want to give you a chance to win tickets to both of those shows right now with a game that we like to call Just a Second.
Just a Second!
Kevin, you want to explain this one?
Yes. We play Just a Second of a Green Day song. We'll give it to you twice, and then you just have to give us the name of the song.
All right. Is it the first
second? I believe it is the first second of every song, yes.
All right. Let's give it a try. If you're right, you go into the drawing. Someone will win tickets to both events. Who's our first contestant, please?
Joey in Fullerton. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hi. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm going to give it to you twice. Here it is. One more time.
American Idiot.
Yeah, it is. Don't want to be an American idiot. Nicely done. Hold on, right, please.
He goes into that hopper I'm so fond of referencing.
Yeah. Yeah, or Allie writes his name on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Either way. Anna in Long Beach, hi.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready for your Just a Second?
Yes.
Here you go. One more time.
Boulevard.
She didn't even need
wow.
it. Didn't even need it.
I walk a lonely road. All right.
That's my kind of Green Day fan right there.
Well done. Let's go to John in La Habra, hi.
Hey, party peeps, what's happening?
Hey, John, why do you have to be up at 6 o'clock in the morning? What's that about?
Work kind of sucks, but I got to pay the bills.
Fair enough. All right, listen up. Here's your song.
One more time.
Holiday.
We can get nothing past these Green Day fans.
That's right. Let's go to Rudy in Orange. Hi.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. You ready?
I'm ready.
Here's your Green Day song. Name it. One more time.
When I Come Around. I heard you
cry loud. All right. 4 for 4.
100%. No pressure, Joe, in Sylmar. No pressure, but the four people before you all got it.
Yeah, those are all the ones I knew, and I'm going to get the one I don't know.
Well, that's positive, Joe.
That's a terrible attitude right there, Joe. Are you ready?
I think.
Here you go. Right?
Brand
shoe. Well, look at you, trouble
trying to sleep. All right.
See? You can do it.
5 for 5. Let's go to Tony in Whittier. Hi there.
How you doing?
Good, thanks. You ready?
Yep.
All right. One more time.
Oh, man, I'm blanking out. Sorry. Dear mother, can you hear me
whining? Poor guy.
That was Welcome to Paradise, dude. Sorry. All right, we got time for one more.
All right, let's go to Christian in Pomona. Hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going well. You ready?
Kind of.
Kind of. Okay, well, here you go. Here's your song. One more time.
Oh,
That song is called... The name of that song is... What?
No. I don't know, man.
Oh, gee. Started strong.
Yeah, sure did. Good batch. Joey and Anna and John and Rudy and Joe, all five named their Just a Second Green Day songs, but only one, unfortunately, is going to be joining us in the Red Bull Sound Space next Wednesday and a couple nights before at the Palladium to see Green Day twice. Miss Alma McKay, who's our winner, please?
Congratulations, Anna.
Anna. Congratulations, Anna.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
Enjoy Green Day. We'll see you here at K-Rock, and thanks for playing the game.
Just a second.
Kevin, you were out yesterday.
Yes.
And by the way, I have to applaud the genius of your new plan to take Wednesdays off. A lot of people would say it'd be the way to go is to take the Friday or the Monday and make it a long weekend. But by taking Wednesdays off, all of your Mondays and Thursdays are Thursdays. All of your Tuesdays and Fridays are Fridays. It's great.
Yeah.
Giving you props.
Yeah.
But you missed an interesting caller yesterday who brought something up. We were doing Kevin Bean's What's Good.
Nope. Not interesting, not good.
Allie, do you remember the caller's name? I'm sorry that I don't.
I don't either.
Dickhead.
I do want to give him credit for bringing up a fantastic idea. Here's how it went.
What's up with not bringing back the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices?
It sucks. First of all, the setup would be awful because sure. It'd be like, I wonder who we're going to talk to. I don't know. What's the animals this will land on today? I hope it's the tiger. And like, you haven't spun yet, Kevin. It's like, oh, that's right. And then spin it, it'd be the tiger. And then after all the setup, it would be some lame-ass story with a bad, bad payoff. And I just got too embarrassed.
Like, I
got
to say, embarrassed to participate. Between Ralph's description and Carlos's enthusiasm, I am ready to bring it back.
Yeah, what about one more chance?
One more chance, right? That's
a
good
one more chance.
One more chance.
People, why do you... Look, now, if when you shoot for good...
Right.
Bad is the result.
Right. Uh-huh. But when we shoot for great, bad is the result as well, so
right.
Why not?
But why shoot for bad? Why willingly go there? Why go to the dark place when you can aspire to better?
Because we live in the dark place. And we can't
but
see
out.
But
you have to wallow in it. You can live in it, but you have to get naked and roll around
in it. I
feel
like that's the best case.
Then you just come up with the stink all over you. Try to stay clean.
All right, now, do I start with the theme, or do we talk about the wheel first?
Jesus Christ. See? This is why this bit died. Because it's awful and convoluted.
I have the wheel here. I got stories, but
okay,
do I...
I think we read the story. I think you tell us what stories are on the wheel, and then we play the intro and then spin the wheel, I think.
We've talked about this before.
The stories on the wheel are Duke, the dog that was reelected as mayor in a Minnesota town.
See, now, Ralph, right there, I'm already intrigued and fascinated, and I hope it lands on that so we can make that phone call.
That is the story.
I want
just
to talk
got the
to
story.
But we could talk to somebody in that town about what it's
can't.
Like having a dog that's a mayor.
I guarantee you won't be talking to someone in that town
the human
if it lands on there.
The human-faced pig with a penis on his forehead.
Okay, just F you now.
The photobombing magpies. The stoned rampaging sheep. The golden retriever that thinks he's an opera singer.
Oh, come on.
Screw you.
That sounds good to me, too.
The narc cow. And also Stanley, the cell phone stealing raccoon.
You're just reading a list.
These are all
of
stories.
They're
all real stories that we're putting on the wheel of bad animal voices.
Now it's over. Now it's all over.
Yeah. Wheel of bad animal voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
Don't know.
It's going to be pretty.
Assistant producer Christine, by the way, has reminded me that it was listener Carlos yesterday from Redlands, so you can send him all the thanks in the world that the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices is back on the air. Kevin, you spin the wheel now, and then we make a follow-up phone call on whatever story it lands on.
All right, here we go, the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. And it lands on the stoned rampaging sheep!
Yay!
Such great news!
Tell me more.
There is a town where sheep ate a lot of weed. They busted an illegal weed growing operation, and then they dumped the weed, and the sheep found it.
And just thought it was hay.
Whatever.
Probably so.
Oh, and they just started eating it. And they went on a, quote, psychotic rampage.
Holy moly.
Because they were high.
They have been roaming the village causing havoc. They have been breaking into homes. Unfortunately, some have been hit by cars while walking the streets in a daze.
How do they break into homes?
Well,
that's craziness.
Yeah.
If we could talk to somebody in this town, it would be ideal.
That would be amazing.
Well, producer Dave apparently works very fast because since the time we landed on the wheel, we now have somebody on the line from the quiet village of Reedy Pandy? It can't be Reedy Pandy, in the Swansea Valley in South Wales. Hello there. Who's on the phone, please? Is this a shepherd?
I am not a shepherd, no.
What? We were trying to talk to somebody about all the sheep in town.
Are you the mayor?
It's Swansea, by the way.
Oh, is it Swansea? I'm sorry.
Not Swansea.
I didn't know. I was unfamiliar with it.
Oh, God damn it.
Wait, hold on a sec. Is this one of the sheep?
I am, yes.
One of the sheep.
This is what went south originally, is that we could never get the details right, so the sheep in this case would have to correct us.
And I'm stoned and I know better.
All right. So what's your name? What's your name, sheep?
Matthew.
Matthew, okay. What
Matt,
all right. what happened? How did you and all the other sheep in town come across all this weed?
Well, there was an illegal grow,
uh-huh.
and they dumped all the weed in a field, and we ate it.
Right.
You just said that.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
How did know what happened?
I just wanted to hear first-person perspective of what it was like for you guys. Oh, you must have been excited.
I ate weed.
Hey, Matt, it said you guys were getting into houses. How does a sheep break into a home?
Crowbar.
Crowbar. So you guys are high-functioning high sheep.
Oh, I'm now getting it.
Oh, wow. All right.
That would help all of us.
I need this.
You need
Any
this.
Any other questions? Really? You called Swansea in Wales, and that's it? You got nothing else to ask? Who are you?
I believe
Carlos.
I'm satisfied.
Carlos
does bad work. 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 636.
Yeah.
Right?
Welcome back, Kevin.
Halloween!
Buzzer is not effective.
Halloween spooks behind the tree. I wish they could do it for free.
Ramping it up.
I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks.
Come on now.
Outside my window frame.
Let's face it, we are in the throes of the Halloween season now. We're getting close. Today's the 13th, right? So it's only a little more than 2 weeks away.
Right, but we don't need to hear people gargling because of that.
And I saw an interesting article, I thought, from a website called Fusion.net that is trying to get out ahead of what they predict will be, once again this year, like every year, offensive Halloween costumes. And I wanted to talk to you guys about this because isn't Halloween all about being offensive?
I mean, it is to me. You try to find something that will be offensive. That's sort of the goal.
For a lot of people, it is for their costume. And I feel, I don't know, Allie, you're a little more politically correct than I am, but I kind of feel...
A lot more, like, actually.
I kind of feel
define
like...
Define politically correct. Do you mean humane
sensitive.
And
sensitive
normal?
Sensitive and humane. Yes, I
okay,
do.
Okay, thank
you're
you.
You're in the world of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I just feel like on Halloween... You have a little bit of a wider berth to have fun with something that might be a serious topic because it's an evening that's all about dressing up and being wild and being crazy. And when somebody might say, ooh, that's in bad taste, I don't think that necessarily means you shouldn't wear it for Halloween. Am I wrong?
I think it totally depends on where you're going and
yes.
who you're. Are you around little children?
Right.
Are you going to, you know, a K-Rock party, for example? Everything would be game there, I think. You know,
yeah.
It depends on the party.
And I think certain costumes, depending on who you are, you can't do.
Okay.
And it sounds to me like you're talking blackface. And there
little
are
bit.
Several
facts.
Examples of that
yeah.
in this article from Fusion.net. Now, here's what it says. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to be subjected to all sorts of ill-advised, ignorant, bigoted horror shows of costumes. So at the risk of inspiring uncreative a-holes, I would like to take a moment to call out some of the more predictable, stupid ideas that haven't happened yet but probably will. Please, dummies, think twice. Now, the one that's getting all of the attention is the Kim Kardashian-inspired Parisian heist robbery victim costume kit. She was robbed at gunpoint.
Right.
The story is that she was had her hands and her mouth bound, and they stole $10 million worth of jewelry. And apparently she is very upset, as any person would be, by going through an experience like that. So, is this an inappropriate or offensive costume, or is it okay to make fun of a victim of a robbery like this? Can we wear this costume? It's a robe, and you've got the wig that makes you look like Kim Kardashian, and you've got something that's in your mouth and around your wrists.
What's in her mouth?
I mean... It's a cloth or something just kind of okay. tied around, you know.
Got it.
See, here's the thing, is that you sort of have to take into account who it's about.
Yeah.
And you sort of are you sort of don't like her in a way, and you know that she's all about publicity in a way. There's a lot of reasons why that might be okay.
So in other words, if your wife had been robbed at gunpoint, it's not cool to parody that. But because it's Kim Kardashian and she's A, a celebrity, and B, she already has this image that people don't like, it's probably okay.
And there's a little something that people don't trust about that story even.
Still, yeah.
Like who was in on it and all that kind of stuff.
She, by the way, is suing one news organization that suggested that the thing was fake. Did you hear about that?
No, I did not.
Yeah. All right, here's one. Tell me about this. Kevin, I think you're probably – this is probably something that's in consideration for you.
All right.
Uh-oh.
The sexy Ken Bone costume. How do you feel about that?
I'm all about that.
The sexy Ken Bone costume. Now, Ken Bone is the young man with the red sweater who stood up at the debates a few nights ago.
I called dibs on the Bone Man immediately that night.
You did.
I did. And I just want everybody to know that.
It's got a fake mustache and glasses, and it's got a little red sweater and a microphone that you carry if you're Ken Bone.
I'm all about Ken Bone.
How are we celebrating an undecided voter at this point in the election?
Well, that's an excellent point.
Because look at him.
Come on. But sexy Ken Bone.
Right.
Sexy this isn't Ken just Bone. A dude in a red sweater. This is her. Look at that picture.
By the way, sexy. Like Ken Bone wasn't sexy.
That's true. It is offensive to Ken Bone. Like, he is already straight up sexy.
I think there's no one who can pretend to be Ken Bone that will get half the sexiness of the real Ken Bone.
It's true.
So you're failing.
But I think that one's fine because who cares?
Not
you're not really.
I agree.
He's
not
going to see it. No. No one cares.
Not offensive. Right. And by the way, no one will remember Ken Bone come 2.5 weeks from now.
Then they're going to be going, what are you dressed up
as? All right. 2 years ago, the Ebola virus outbreak tore through West Africa, killing more than 11,000 people. It was a tragic health disaster, so obviously that meant it was a perfect Halloween costume fodder for Americans thousands of miles away. Earlier this year, Zika costumes were a hit at Brazil's carnival, but hopefully Halloween will not be infected. What about going dressed as the Zika virus?
Kevin is right now.
Because
there are costumes that make you look like a mosquito, basically.
Oh.
Black and white stripes on it, and it's got a little, you know, a little stinger on the top of your head, and it's a Zika, is what it says. Is it okay to dress up as a Zika mosquito, or is it a tragic health event that we should stay away from?
I mean, again, it's Halloween night. No one's really... I don't feel like you're doing it in front of the people that have the problem. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a...
So if the people who would be offended, in other words, this is one where
if it decimated you're not allowed, Los Angeles, for example,
right.
I think no.
Okay. But it happened in Florida, so who cares?
I mean, Florida.
Florida. I mean, in your defense,
that's
Florida.
All, just Florida.
All right. How about this one, you guys? Now, this is an interesting one for me because are you attacking Donald Trump if you dress up as Miss Piggy Universe or are you fat shaming the woman? Alicia Machado, if you dress up as Miss Piggy Universe. Who's the victim here?
I don't know if that
Miss
was
Piggy?
Miss Piggy Universe.
Probably Miss Piggy, yeah.
Miss Piggy would have some reason to be
very
upset about
by that.
So offensive, not offensive?
I think none.
Yeah.
But again, right. I mean, like, if you're talking about a K-Rock party, it's very different than if you have five-year-olds.
How about if you're dressing up as Harambe, the gorilla that was shot in the Cincinnati Zoo when the little boy crawled into his cage? Is that too tragic and sad a story and we're all still ashamed and embarrassed that happened? Or is it okay to be, in this case, a sexy Harambe is the costume, by the way?
I can't. Nope.
I was out until I heard sexy.
And then
you're the sexy dead gorilla.
Right.
Apparently you're living in the right country.
You know what? I would look at that and I would go, well, that's in poor taste, but I'm fine with it.
You would think if somebody came dressed as Harambe, because
as long as they're sexy Harambe,
because part of it is you look for something that's current and contemporary.
Right.
So Harambe happened this year, so you think it would be okay.
I mean, yeah.
How about this one? And this has been a thing for the last few years. Nothing specific about 2016, but how about racist Snapchat filters? What about people who dress up like that? Because there are several filters you have where it makes your face look Asian, for instance, or something like that. What if you dressed up in a costume like that? If it's on Snapchat, is it okay to follow it? The blackface Bob Marley filter, for instance, is another one. The yellowface anime filter. Is it okay to make that a costume?
I'm going to just put it out there. Don't go as a different race ever.
Ever.
Just
probably,
kind of a blanket statement.
I would say it's okay, but that's probably good advice. Like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I mean, maybe, okay, I can see it, but no good's going to come from that.
No.
And maybe...
And you might get shot.
And maybe, like, don't dress up because, you know, again, because of Donald Trump in the news, there's been a lot of talk about his thoughts about Mexicans that come maybe don't dress up as a Mexican, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't pick a race right. and make that your costume. Or don't make – maybe your costume isn't a Muslim, for instance, right?
Right, right.
These are good tips.
Remember when I said that?
Yes, but I was just putting
– So you're saying –
I was giving examples. I was giving specific
examples.
You're giving
an example of a race.
Yes,
of
something that's in the news, a race and a religion, maybe not a costume.
Well done.
All right, well, there's more on this list, and we're posting it on the Kevin DeBede social media, but there's still plenty of time for you to come up with your own offensive costume, right?
Right, so get on it.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin DeBede Show at 6:52.
So the Indians are in, the Blue Jays are in, the Cubs are in. Now we have to find out whether it's the Washington Nationals or the Los Angeles Dodgers that move on to the next round in the Road to the World Series. We'll talk to our friend Petros Papadakis from the Petros Money Radio Show about today's game coming up right after 7 o'clock. Ralph's here now. Time for the showbiz. Good morning, Ralph.
Heard you guys talking about the sexy Ken Bone Halloween costume.
Yes.
Sounds
good,
right?
Which one of you guys is dressing up as that?
That's me.
That would be you?
Of course.
Well, maybe you want to do something else like Ken Bone does. Ken Bone, the viral internet sensation, if you're not familiar with the name, he was the guy who asked the energy question at the presidential debate, and the internet just exploded because he's a sexy, sexy man in a red sweater.
I didn't even hear the question. I was just so enamored with him.
He has been offered $100,000
yes,
to do a porn movie.
Ken Bone.
You can always count on the porn industry.
Yep. They have offered him $100,000 to do a film called The Bone Zone.
Oh, dear.
The Bone
Ken
Zone.
Bone.
The offer coming from the good folks at camsoda.com. They would reportedly give Ken the cash along with 25 throwaway cameras to use. See, they handed out throwaway cameras to everyone in the audience of the
hall. Oh, I see. Okay.
To take pictures of themselves with the candidates after the fact because
gotcha.
You couldn't have a cell phone or anything in there.
Gotcha.
So they gave you a disposable camera to use. So he will have that to use as well.
Mm-hmm.
One fan on Twitter likes the idea, tweeting, his name is Ken Bone, and he can bone me anytime.
He's got quite a fan club.
So he's got his fans.
He was on with
I'm in.
Jimmy Kimmel the other night, and Jimmy's first question was, do you have any idea how adorable you are?
I think $100,000 is a little low to ask a guy to lose his virginity on camera, don't you think? Don't you think it's a little on the cheap side?
He looked like he was about 30, didn't he? 35?
He is 34, and he looks about 58. Who are we kidding?
Okay.
But
he's a happily married man.
This will be his first time, right?
And a Christian rock drummer.
I'm sorry, what happened?
He's in a band.
Christian rock drummer.
Oh, okay. Dear Lord, we need to find that.
All right, then.
He's a drummer.
Yeah.
For Striper?
Wow.
Not Striper.
Oh.
That's
the only
good pull.
Christian band I know. Television, huh?
Right.
Who's with me?
I agree.
That's something.
Yes. Isn't that something?
It's something else, I'll tell you.
A lot of TV news. Fox, very happy with its Lethal Weapon TV series. Remake of the film franchise, of course. The TV series doing well for itself. Fox has ordered up another 5 episodes. It means Damon Wayans and Clayne Crawford will continue working together on that show.
It's another one of those fake names you made up, Ralph.
That's Clayne Crawford.
No one is named Clayne.
It's
not a name.
His name is Clayne Crawford, and he is on that show. That makes a full season order of 18 episodes from the network, which is getting an average of 12.4 million viewers per episode.
Wow.
So it's a big hit for Fox. So congratulations. More TV news. Fox is bringing back Showtime at the Apollo. Woo! Right? Where's the broom man? You guys don't know.
I don't know.
It's going to be a couple specials with Steve Harvey as the host. If someone was really awful, they'd bring out the broom man and he would sweep them off the stage.
You never saw the Apollo? No.
Oh, Kevin. Racist. The Apollo Theater's weekly amateur night show has been running for 82 years.
Oh, my gosh.
At the OG Theater there in Harlem. And then, of course, it was a very popular syndicated show from 1987 to 2008. Steve was the host of that show from 1993 to 2000. So he's returning, and they're going to do a couple specials on the show on the network of Fox. So
glad to see Steve. I mean, depending on the the level of talent they can find for the show. It's amateurs, right?
Yeah, it's amateurs.
Yeah, I mean, it could be good.
Lady Gaga is making plans for her television spectacular as the halftime show of the Super Bowl.
I'm sorry, who, Allie?
Lady Gaga!
That's right.
Oh, man. That's painful.
It's the worst.
She's already making plans. She told the New York Daily News that she wants a very special guest star to perform with her.
Beyonce?
Close.
Tony Bennett.
Tony Bennett.
Oh, no, Lady Gaga.
Seriously.
Come on.
Seriously.
He will be the oldest performer in history to ever perform at the Super Bowl.
We don't need
But seriously.
Tony clocks in at a virile 90 years old.
Right.
And he's going to be up there on stage.
But seriously.
Hi there, everybody. I'm Tony Bennett. And I'm going to sing a song for you now. I left my heart in San Francisco.
You don't get a lot of call for that one.
No, I don't get a chance
Tony
to break
Bennett
out my Tony
is
very often.
An American
isn't that something?
Treasure.
Isn't that Lady Gaga something else? I want to tell you, Lady Gaga and I are great friends. We love working together in San Francisco.
Maybe I'm in now.
Were you saying treasure?
Yes, he's great, all right? But
he was great in 1953.
No, he's great now. Right. He's great now. And that album that they made together, Lady Gaga.
Don't care about it at all.
They made together their number one album from last year.
Wait, Tony Bennett made an album with who?
With Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga!
There you go. Thank you.
Timing.
It was a great album. But that's not the kind of music anyone wants for the Super Bowl halftime show. It's just not a good fit.
Hey, how about that field goal kicker, huh? He's something. What a leg that kid's got on him.
I'd like to punch
Someday, when I'm awfully cold. Hey, Gaga, join me, baby.
All right, now I want it. If he's going to banter and talk to the audience.
Somebody give me a helmet.
And play.
I want to play some football.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kate Walsh is 49 years old today. Love her.
Yeah.
Sacha Baron Cohen is 45. Ashanti celebrates her 36th birthday. Caleb McLaughlin from Stranger Things is 15 years old. Billy Bush, former television personality Billy Bush, is 45. He has just hired himself a PR company to help him rehab his image, to rebrand himself.
Who would have thought, as you were looking into the political year, that that would have been the sum of the fallout of Donald Trump?
If I were to say to you, Bush is going to beat Trump, you would think it was Jeb, right? Wouldn't you assume?
Sure.
You wouldn't think it's Billy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Billy has hired himself a firm to help him rehabilitate his brand. See, Donald Trump is creating jobs. You're right. Mm-hmm. There's one. And Chris Carter, our good buddy Chris Carter. Creator of the X-Files.
Just the X-Files.
That's all he did.
Mm-hmm.
And Millennium. Remember Millennium?
Oh, I love Millennium so much.
He's 59 years old today. Happy birthday, Chris Carter. I think you and I should sing a duet together sometime. I left my heart. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Today is the day that Sony's PlayStation virtual reality arrives. And we'll talk to our friend Ashley Escada from CNET.com coming up in about 15 minutes about that and how much closer it gets me to robot sex. But first, Petros Papadakis, ladies and gentlemen, co-host of the Petros Money Radio Show on Sports Radio AM 570. How are you, P?
Are you watching that Westworld with the robot sex?
Yeah, that's good stuff right there.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't tell, what's the difference?
What's
right?
The difference, right? So, P, how are you feeling? Are you the kind of guy who wakes up on a win or go home kind of day like this with butterflies in your stomach, or are you calm, cool, and collected? What's your vibe right now on the Dodgers' chances this afternoon against Washington?
You know, despite being on my mother's bed in 1988 with my brother and mom and sister watching Kirk Gibson. And running out in the street and hearing everybody yelling and screaming, what was that, like 28 years ago?
Mm-hmm, right? No, that's right.
What?
None of that.
He said he was in bed.
What? He was a little kid, and it was his mother's bed, so please stop the music.
Oh, all right.
Go ahead, Pete.
My
Despite
bad.
That, in 88, right?
Are you suggesting
right?
that we have an incest issue in my family?
I
don't want to know what he was suggesting.
Why are you ruining a great memory?
Tell your story. I'm sorry. Tell your story.
Despite having experienced that, I have to say I don't really get too riled up. I'm interested. I want the Dodgers to win. It's great for our station if they do, because everybody makes more money and our bosses are nicer to us. But overall, I just am interested to see how it plays out. I'm not really rooting. I'm not freaking out. But there's a lot of people that are, and they should. You know, it's been a long time, and the Dodgers have barely had any success in the postseason since that 1988 game. And it's sad, because since that's happened, everybody in town who's relevant in sports history or not relevant, like UCLA basketball, like USC football, like the Lakers, they've all won championships. And even some of our second-tier teams, the Angels, you know, the Galaxy, the Sparks, you know, they've all won
titles. Don't forget the Kings, too. Don't forget the champions, the Kings.
Yeah, not to mention the LA Kings and the Ducks.
Right,
you know,
right.
So all of this has happened since 1988. And by the way, the Dodgers are the number one brand in town, believe it or not. The Dodgers are the most visited sports team, not in the country, not in baseball, on Earth. So it's the number one sports experience on Earth. That place fills up every year. They break attendance records every year. And it's been a great year with the Vin Scully thing. So the Dodger fans, I really do feel like they deserve a big victory tonight. I don't know if it's going to happen, though.
We were so with you right up until that last second.
Wow.
You turned.
Look, Kershaw, the pitcher that everybody loves.
Right.
The very good pitcher that has a Harambee-sized ape on his back when it comes to the playoffs.
Now, does he still?
No, I feel like he lifted that this year. He won a game and was one strike away from winning the second game he pitched.
He lost the first game. Well, he didn't win it. He left with a no decision. He would have lost, but they came back and won. And he would have lost the last one if they didn't come back and win. I mean, he pitched well enough, and he went out.
He struck out 11 and went 6 2/3 innings. It's not his fault that he – I mean, it is his fault he left the bases loaded, but the jackass relievers could have not let every one of those runs score.
You're right, and there's an argument to be made, and if you thought Kershaw still looked shaky, you have some real stuff to lean back on. If you thought that he was heroic, you got a lot to say there too. So it's kind of a double-edged argument. But he already pitched is the main
thing. Right, so who's pitching today?
Everybody. Oral Hershiser.
Really?
We're putting Mr. Kovac, Blister in today, right?
Rich Hill's going to start. A guy they call the Bishop. He throws from all kinds of different angles. I thought it was a religious thing. It's not. It's a chess reference. Because he's a wacky thrower. He's got a weird style.
Is that
like
what you want? A wacky thrower?
In a winner-go-home situation, you want the wacky thrower?
Yeah, I get. Well, he's the best guy they have available.
Okay. But is he going to dress up like a creepy clown or anything just to make it really interesting?
He wears one of those blow-up Katy Perry shark outfits.
That would be the best. That would really be awesome.
But he's going to have a short leash. They're not going to let him linger out there like the cranberries. very long.
File.
Wow.
File.
With
extreme
I'm
prejudice.
Such a fool for you.
Wow. Of course. You're going to throw everything. Anyone who has a good arm, you're going to put in the game because obviously you're not saving them for anything. You're just going to do whatever you have to do pitch by pitch. It's going to be like game four where they had four different pitchers going against four consecutive Washington batters. You just have to work that bullpen as much as you can.
Now, what's happening with the Nationals? Do they have somebody good?
Yeah, well, you see that in the playoffs. A lot of people just desperately going after it. You probably won't see much of that with the Nationals, like you just said, because they have Max Scherzer going, and Max Scherzer is one of the best pitchers in the National League, if not the best. Probably got a really good shot to win the Cy Young this year. So, and the Dodgers beat this guy already, or at least they knocked him around a little bit, I think for four or five runs in the first game. So they'll have a good shot against this guy again. They're going to throw the same lineup at him that they did in game one. And predicting this and talking about numbers and bringing up some advanced statistics, none of it matters because there'll be a fly ball and a beer bottle will hit a player's head.
Yeah.
You know, Steve Bartman will lean out of the stands and grab baseball's fun to watch in the postseason, though it's tedious, like you guys said, with all the pitching changes and stuff. There'll be a lot of emotion and drama in D.C. tonight if it's a close game.
Let me ask you this, Pete. You hear so much about home field advantage in football. Does that transfer to baseball? Is it a very different experience for the Dodgers to be playing at, in the Nationals Park?
I don't think it transfers. I don't think it transfers. You guys love hockey. Yep. I don't think it transfers in hockey and, you know, in the playoffs. And I don't think it transfers in baseball because we just see too much. It should. I mean, the other day in San Francisco, you could hear, like, those 40 or 50,000 people all screamed, yeah, at the same time. I mean, it's intimidating. And those places erupt when there's a hit to go ahead or something in a game. But I just don't think it matters. I think these guys, they play so many games. They travel so much. They're kind of like a little unit in that dugout, regardless of which team and where they are.
So that's not a negative factor for today's game.
Well, I mean, I think you'd always rather be playing at home. You know, you'd always rather get the opportunity to bat last. But I don't think it's the nail in the coffin for the Dodgers if
gotcha.
They lose this game. I think their problem is Scherzer. You know, the Dodgers' problem is they've already pitched Kershaw. They probably depend on him too much. And the fact that they're facing the other team's Kershaw.
I am allowed to be sad, though, if the Dodgers lose tonight, right?
I think everybody, yeah, just don't mistreat your dog or your family. You know, that's what the only thing that bothers me about fans. You know, you can be mad, but don't let it really affect you to where everybody's like, stay away from dad. He's going to throw a bottle of bourbon at you because the Dodgers lost.
Right. But we can go outside if they win and shoot our guns into the air, right?
Yeah, oh, by far, yeah.
That's
well, Westworld. The guns can only kill the robots. So
that's what
worry.
I've heard.
Yeah.
All right, so flex time on Petras and Money today. You guys are on noon to 4, and then the game's at 5, right?
Yeah, correct. Very exciting time in the city of the – did you like that sports analysis? You guys want to talk about JoJo or anything?
No, that's all. We're Bachelorette's done for now. Thank you, P. We'll look for you on the radio this afternoon. Go Dodgers. Thanks for jumping on, dude.
Don't be dismissive.
Ashley.
Hello.
Ashley.
How are
Ashley.
You? I feel like it's been too long since we've seen you. Ashley, a skater from CNET.com. How are you?
I am good. It has been. It's always too long. That's always too long between my times here at K-Rock.
You are my favorite nerdy girl, and I have to ask, what are you going to be for Halloween? Have you already thought about it?
I am dressing up as Holtzman from Ghostbusters 2016.
Which one is Holtzman?
The best
what?
One. The best one.
Kate
McKinnon's character.
Fantastic.
Oh, Bean.
I didn't see it.
The fabulous weirdo.
I didn't see it.
Well, shame on you. You're part
okay.
of the problem.
I'm part of the problem. I'm a bad person. Well, that's going to be fun.
All right. You're here today to talk about some new stuff that's coming out.
I am. PlayStation VR launches today.
All right. PlayStation VR. Explain it to people, please.
It's a big day. So if you have a PlayStation 4, you can now purchase, or if you maybe you've pre-ordered one, it's coming today, like me. I'm very excited. You can get a PlayStation virtual reality helmet. There are also cameras and Move controllers, which look like little glowy ice creams. And you can have a virtual reality experience with a console, which this is sort of a big deal because right now your bigger options are Oculus and Vive, which you would need a full-blown VR PC to use.
Okay,
so this is a little bit of a cheaper option.
So I have some more. I have another basic question, and forgive me, I know nothing on this topic because if it's not robot sex, I don't care. Here's the thing. Does this mean, since it's a Sony PlayStation device, that you're using the VR to just play video games, or is it where you are creating some sort of alternate universe where now you can be at the Taj Mahal if you want?
So for now, there are, I believe it's 48 different launch titles and experiences. So some of them are sort of cinematic in a way. Like there are some that are kind of like you're living a puzzle game, like The Assembly, and then there's other ones that are just full-on shooters or, you know, different types of games like that, like Battlezone. It's really fun. There's some really cool music, like rhythm games. But I have a feeling that we're going to see, or I have a feeling, no, we're definitely going to see experiences, maybe some movies, things like that, that people are going to release into the Sony
store. I feel like
store.
Experiences and movies is not what you want from that, though. Is it?
Yes and no. So I really enjoyed, there's an Oculus short film called Henry, and it's this ridiculously adorable little short film about, I think he's a porcupine, maybe he's a hedgehog, and it's his birthday, he wants to have a balloon, and he keeps popping all these balloons. Really, really cute, but you can look around during the experience, like, it's sort of like a movie, but in 360 degrees, and it
okay.
looks like you're inside a Pixar film. Like, it's really cool, but I have a feeling people will really enjoy the things that allow them to do things they wouldn't be able to do otherwise. So if there ever was a tour of the Louvre, somebody's like, well, I can't go to France because I can't afford it. But I've always wanted to see the Louvre. Maybe now we'll be able to do that with virtual reality.
I see. Okay.
And that, Kevin, would be the first game you would buy, right, as a chance to experience the Louvre in person. Right.
Right.
So, I mean, it's unlimited, the possibilities, once this gets up and running and gets affordable for most people. But, I mean, if you want to know what it's like to blast off in a rocket and go to the moon, there's no reason why something like that couldn't be made, right?
Sure, sure. And there are already NASA, JPL is, I believe, working with some virtual reality companies to bring some of the pictures that Curiosity has taken on Mars into a virtual reality experience. You can see, like, oh, I'm standing on Mars, and this is what it would actually look like if I was there.
So what kind of a space do you need? Because every time I think about virtual reality, you know, I think about going back to the Wii. I think about you see people moving around in their living room and just trying not to knock the lamp off the table and stuff like that. How much room do you need to be able to fully experience this VR?
Well, some of the games and experiences are meant to be seated, and then some of them are meant to be standing up. So the, like, HTC Vive, for example, has sensors that you put up and you kind of draw out the room. You explain to the system, like, here's where the limits are of my room.
Oh, okay.
So you can actually set that, which is good, because obviously not everybody has a beautiful, perfect 15 by 15 foot space to set up their virtual reality in.
So in other words, nobody has that.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you set it up like that, then the game will not walk you into a wall.
Right, like if you're in game and you start walking towards a wall, it will actually show you a grid, sort of a transparent grid in the game that says, like, hey, like, you, this is a wall here. And also the other thing a lot of people don't consider is being scared by other people because you're in a headset. You can't see what's going on outside.
Yeah, jumping back.
Yeah, jumping back, like being frightened. The Vive actually has front-facing cameras, so if someone walks up to you, it'll show like an outline of a person so that you won't get startled if somebody walks up to you and is like, hey.
You such great ideas.
But the other ones don't have those, so so just be, if you really want to scare somebody, get them not a Vive.
All right, let me ask you what might be another stupid question. It seems like 3D sort of never took off in that people didn't like the glasses.
Yeah, I mean,
Is that an issue with this?
Well, I mean, there's still equipment involved. There's still an extra cost, an added cost. And the other thing is it's not a shared experience. So when you're doing virtual reality in your living room, and let's say someone's sitting next to you on the couch, they're not experiencing the same thing you're experiencing. They can watch what you're doing, but it's not the same thing. So there's sort of that that hurdle that a lot of virtual reality companies have to figure out how to interact with each other. So Oculus is doing some really interesting stuff where you're actually able to have an avatar, and they're owned by Facebook. So Oculus has this thing where they announced at Oculus Connect, hey, you're going to be able to have this avatar and you're going to interact with other people. And they have these Oculus Touch controllers where you can, you know, do finger guns at people and like high five them and all this other weird stuff. But yeah, it may not be robot sex, Bean, but virtual reality.
Well,
I mean, maybe someday you'll be able to you'll be able to have coitus with some nice virtual lady.
Well, now you made it dirty.
Oh,
it was
no,
about
it
love.
Was clean.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He was going to make sweet love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Ashley Escate is here from CNET.com. We're talking about the Sony PlayStation virtual reality. Now, you say it ships today. Is this going to be one of those deals like we've seen so many Christmases in the past where if you haven't already pre-ordered it, you're just not going to get it until next year?
Surprisingly, it does not look like that. So last night, Amazon opened up more orders for it.
Okay.
There's two different ways to get it. If you already have the Move controllers and the camera and all stuff, which most people don't. It's $399 for the virtual reality headset, but $499 gets you the whole bundle. So that's the thing that most people will probably be buying. I wouldn't want to be misleading about it and be like, oh, it's $399. And then you get to the store and you're like, what is this extra $100? I didn't spend this. But yeah, so it's today. And
it's available.
Pretty widely available. And the other thing is VR is so new and people are so kind of tentative about it so far because it's not quite as developed as it, you know, as it will be in a couple of years.
Right.
This is very much the Wild West of video game development in terms of, remember when we went from, you know, NES and Super Nintendo to PlayStation, it was all of a sudden 3D and we were freaked out because we could move the camera. It's the same type of thing in virtual reality with developers trying to figure out what works.
And now is the time to make that leap if you want to? I mean, basically this is the best time so far.
So far. Yeah. I mean, I think this is, you know, you have some choice. If you have a good computer, you can get an Oculus or an HTC Vive. If you have a console, if you have a PlayStation 4, you can now get PlayStation VR. I think if you're interested in it and you have the extra scratch, it could be really fun. There's a lot of great games, Res Infinite, Battlezone. There's going to be more games like Psychonauts and the Rhombus of Ruin. That's going to be out later this year. Shout out to all my Psychonauts fans. there's like three of you listening to the radio. It's definitely a time where if you feel like you want to be an early adopter, now is a better time than ever before.
All right. The last game I played was called Pong, and it was really fun. And have they done anything more since then with games, or is it still state of the art?
You know, it's so state of the art. I mean,
okay, good. I didn't want to feel like I was running behind.
I feel like you would really love. We gotta get being on Res Infinite like that. It's like a rhythm game, and it's really cool. And you're in this,
sorry, hold, please. When you said the word rhythm, that's discordant with
you
the
word. You don't see rhythm and being in the same sentence?
We can try to teach him.
Nope.
We can try to teach him.
No,
okay.
That's nice of you. It's cute that you think that's possible.
Ashley Escada is here from CNET.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Ashley, do you mind, can we discuss why everyone's Samsung phones are exploding and what happens next?
Oh, of course. Get out your fire extinguishers.
We'll be right back on K-Rock. Listening to K-Rock for your tickets to see Green Day Monday at the Hollywood Palladium, and then again on Wednesday here at the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. That's a pretty good 1-2 punch. We got those for you before the end of the day. And by the way, we just announced yesterday, Ashley, you might like this band. They're going to be here on Monday morning's Kevin and Bean Show. The 1975 is going to be in here performing live.
I do love them.
I do, too. I'm very excited about that performance. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's the voice of our friend Ashley Escada here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She is from CNET.com. We are talking about, among other things, the Samsung phones that are exploding. And it's not just like one. It happened to one dude. I feel like I see stories on the news almost every night now about somebody else having it happen.
It's pretty bad.
What happened?
Well, I think that maybe Samsung got a little bit excited about beating the iPhone to production, and they maybe rushed a little bit, and and so now, oh, it's not good, you guys. So first, there were reports of Galaxy Note 7s. Exploding, lighting on fire, smoking. Then, you know, the FAA's like, maybe you guys should keep those off on planes. And then all of a sudden...
That's how I found out about it, was I was on a flight, and they said, not only turn it off, but disconnect the battery.
Disconnect the battery. Like, you can't do anything crazy with it. Yeah, no, do not charge it. You can't be doing anything with it. And then I think the thing that I saw that I was like, wow, this is a real problem, is a guy had it plugged in, charging in his car, and it totaled his Jeep because it burned down. So that was not good. So now,
is that a battery issue? What lights on fire?
I believe the battery's a little bit too big for its casing, and so there's some problems there.
They're being squeezed, right?
Yeah,
that's what's happening.
It's an issue where when the battery's expanding because of heat, it's not ending well. So they said, hey, we're going to fix this. You can go get a replacement phone, and if you have this replacement phone, you're going to have a green battery indicator as opposed to like one with a white outline, and it's like a whole thing. And then those phones started exploding.
Yeah,
then,
now that seems weird. That step right there seems like a huge misstep.
That would be, if you wanted to define misstep, that would be
that
it.
That would be it.
So now, officially, as of this morning, it is an official recall here in the United States.
Of all?
All Galaxy Note 7s.
Wow.
Oh,
how many is that, Ashley? Do you know?
It's a lot. To the tune
of hundreds of thousands.
I think we were looking at. I believe they said that they are slashing their profit estimates by $2.3 billion.
Wow,
a lot of money happening.
By the way,
it's a big flagship phone for them, and it's really unfortunate because I mean they make the Galaxy S7 is a really good phone, and people love the Note. Like, this was the phone that really kind of made Apple say, we got to make a bigger iPhone. So if you want to thank somebody for a bigger iPhone, like, the Note is really kind of the phone that you would thank.
Right.
Interesting. So now to have that, it's a pretty big blow to Samsung.
How are they going to send it back, though? It could explode in the mail, and then we've got all these situations that people think are terrorists.
Well, so interestingly enough, there is... everybody's sending like these phone. If you hate somebody, send them your Note 7. So they have these like kits that you get to send back your phone, and they have like gloves, and it's basically why isn't it just like a hazmat suit?
Ashley's not joking, by the way. You have gloves, and if I remember correctly, you like wrap it in something. And
you
got
to wrap it in a fireproof material,
and then you put it in a box.
It's really intense.
It has like four layers between the phone and the outside.
It's really intense.
It's exactly what Allie brought up, though, is that you don't want it blowing up somewhere in the chain while it's being mailed.
Right.
I mean, that's a very real concern. Look, I get how stuff like this happens because it's not like it's happening to every phone, right? It's probably happening to 1 in 1,000, say.
Right.
I'm just throwing that number out there.
But that's enough.
It's a problem, but I understand how something like this gets in the supply chain, because if you build this phone and you test this phone and you've got a couple of hundred phones that you're going through the paces and testing before you send it to market, and none of those blow up, you don't have any idea that you've even got a problem when you send it. It's not like there's a way to tell unless it happens.
Right. And if even if you have a...
Hey, be professional, goddammit.
So sorry. Even if you have like the one phone in, let's say, 25,000 that does that on the testing line, do you say, oh, well, this is just a weird anomaly? Like, it's you might look for that same problem again, but you might also think like, okay, well, that's just one phone. Like, because almost anything that is manufactured is going to have some bad devices.
Yeah. You buy a car, you buy a vacuum cleaner, a microwave, whatever it is, once in a while, one of them is not up to snuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And do you feel like this could have happened to any company?
I do. Yeah. And especially now with the pace at which all of these companies are just rushing to get things to market.
I mean, first.
Yeah, they want to be first. They want to beat the competition. And I think, honestly, I really believe that's what happened here. Like, in my opinion, I think Samsung got really excited about being able to beat Apple to market before the iPhone 7 came out. And they just maybe rushed a little bit and maybe didn't catch that in a way that a longer production cycle might have, bore out.
This isn't necessarily a negative for people like me who love fire.
That's true.
I love fire.
In your pocket.
I love fire.
In your pocket.
I'm a fan of fire.
Except not near like your crotch, most people keep their phones.
Okay, that's true as well.
Ashley, before we run out of time, what are the current stats on the battle between iPhones and Androids? Because I feel like Androids have been gaining. Like you said, this Note 7 came out and people really liked it. And I feel like the last couple of iPhone models have not really captured the imagination of the public. Like, they don't seem to be leaps and bounds ahead anymore.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting comparison because Android is an operating system with many different manufacturers, and then Apple just makes the iPhone. So it's, you would have to really make a proper comparison. It's kind of weird because you would have to say like, oh, Apple versus Samsung Note phones, or Apple versus HTC, or Apple versus, and so to say, I mean, Android is just crushing it globally because, one, you can make really low-cost Android phones and get them to communities that are emerging markets. So communities that, need low-cost cell phones, and they work very well. And so that is a way for emerging markets to get a handle on smartphones and to give them information and the ability to access the internet. But with iPhone, it's just a really hard number to compare, like, because it's just kind of not apples to oranges, but it's definitely kind of, Apple only makes two phones. Like, this is, right. and those are the only two phones that run iOS, but then Android has so many manufacturers.
Gotcha.
And on top of that, like, even then you have every manufacturer making sometimes 5, 6, 7 different kinds of phones that all run Android.
So if you're comparing Apple with non-Apple, they've always been crushed.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, Android, I would imagine, globally surpassed the iPhone in terms of sales years ago.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a weird kind of comparison. It's tough. It's tough to make.
What are you working on in the office today? What's going on at CNET.com today?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we just had an article and a video go up. We've been doing these weekly kind of mini features, and I got to – this will make you very excited, Bean. I got to be a robot last week.
Uh-oh. No kidding.
How does that happen exactly?
So XPRIZE is an organization that does these really big competitions with huge prizes. And ANA, the Japanese airline, is sponsoring an XPRIZE for an avatar, so an ability – for a human being to jack into a robot – somewhere else across the globe and control it and see through its eyes. And so they had a robot.
That's pretty cool.
It's so cool. Yeah. The idea is so cool. It's so sci-fi. And at this presentation, they had a robot named Telesar 5, and I was able to sit down, and they put gloves on me with feedback. So when someone touched the robot hand, I felt it in my hand.
Nope. Wow.
Nope. That's really cool.
That's awesome.
No,
awesome.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
So it's just like,
It's she has control over...
Right, it's me.
So she thinks.
It's me.
For now.
Right.
For now. For now, actually.
Here's my point. You don't want Bean on the other side.
That's
look.
What I
love Ashley as much as I can love a human, but I would love her even more if she were a robot. So I think this is a step in the right direction.
Are you
right back at you, Bean. Right back at you.
Bean, are you watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I've seen it,
super hot.
I've seen her.
I know who you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Just want to make sure. And as P brought up, Westworld is really making some moves, too.
All right. CNET.com, AshleyEscada.com. You can follow her on Twitter at AshleyEscada as well. You are the best, and we thank you so much for coming in. Always great to see Ashley.
Same. Bye, guys.
Hey!
Not even a little bit.
I think perfect. Mm-mm.
Nope.
Yeah. Woo!
Perfect. Not a haze situation at all.
Okay.
Hey, Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us later on, and Ralph's got the showbiz beat in just 1 second. But first, we want to give away a pair of tickets and Fright Lane passes to Not Scary Farm. This is a great deal, by the way, because you get front of the line to all the mazes and whatnot. And we thought we would do it in a way that Kevin is going to hate so much.
Halloween, well,
because Kevin. Kevin hates jokes, first of all.
Most jokes are gonna happen.
Most jokes are dumb and poorly told.
Mm-hmm. And you
That's
especially hate punny jokes.
I do, yeah.
And I think there's going to be a lot of those because we are looking for your Halloween jokes is what we're looking for. We'll take your calls in the next segment at 1-800-520-1067. Halloween jokes. For instance, why didn't the skeleton cross the road? He didn't have any guts. Boom! Like right there. That's
See,
a Halloween
that,
joke.
No.
Hey, Kevin.
No, that's not boom.
Kevin, what's
no
a ghost? What's a ghost's favorite dessert?
I don't know.
A blueberry pie. Oh yeah.
Hey, Kevin. What's a vampire's favorite fruit? A nectarine.
Why do ghosts love to ride in elevators, Kevin? Because it lifts their spirits. Yeah.
All right, so
okay, but
what
here's what I'm
for.
Saying. We're going to give away tickets for that?
Yes.
They're so bad, it's good.
Come on now. Come
what
on.
Does a witch use to keep her hair up? Scare spray. Boom!
No boom. There's no boom there.
So 1-800
Those are stupid. These are childish. You're getting these out of Highlights magazine.
We are looking for your Halloween jokes, and if you get one that we approve of, then you will win some passes for the...
You can't...
It didn't work as a punchline, and it certainly didn't work as an FCC regulation.
You got the biggest laugh in this room of all your jokes, I'll let you know. I'll tell you that much. So don't tell me it didn't work.
I would get it.
People are falling over.
That's a winner right there.
See, that's what I'm saying.
We can't put it on the air, but that's a winner. That's the only winner so far.
520-1067. Give us a call with your Halloween jokes to win the passes. Rob is here now. Time for the show of his beat on a Wednesday.
Hey, my sweet babies. My beautiful babies. Hey, my sweet babies. What are you doing tomorrow night? Friday, 10 p.m.? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're coming to the Improv on Melrose to check out a little show that I like to call Hollywood Babble on with me and my bestest buddy, Kevin Smith. We take the stage and we talk about all things showbiz and we make bawdy remarks like the one I just made that you didn't hear because they had to dump it. But if you'd like to hear me uncensored so the man's not keeping me down like Kevin is, come out tomorrow night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. Go to improv.com to get your tickets. Love to
Got
see
my
you.
Cup of tea.
Love to see you come out and join us. You guys know Tiny House Nation? You watch Tiny House Nation?
Yes.
Sure.
Hallie loves it.
Tiny House Nation.
It's so good.
Tiny House Nation.
It's the best.
It's a phenomenon, Kevin.
It sounds awesome to me.
When I brought it up a year ago, you all were like, you're a loser. It's the worst. It is a movement.
I don't remember you bringing it up because I rarely listen to you.
Wow. Aren't there like, Allie, no joke, aren't there like five or six other shows that are trying to jump on the Tiny House Nation bandwagon?
Well, actually, the FYI cable channel is dominating the market because not only do they have Tiny House Nation... They also have Tiny House Hunting and Tiny House World.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So they have three series about tiny houses. For those who don't know, because of the growing housing problem,
finding locations and affording your own home and stuff like that. People are now getting the tiny houses.
Little people. It's for little people.
They're not for little people. They're for grown-up people, regular-sized people who live in houses that are no bigger than 500 square feet.
That's just...
it's like a big tool shed,
basically.
But it's decorated to the teeth, man. And really, it's just impressive.
It's just a migration.
Well, it is. Stuff comes out of the ceiling, and they've got vast expanses of kitchen space and everything. You'd be surprised what they could pack into a tiny house.
It is remarkable to see the engineering on some of those places on the inside. You wouldn't believe they would have so much in there.
Right. We live in a tiny house world.
Okay.
Anyway, the reason I bring it up is because I feel bad for Melinda Crichton. Linda Crichton, California woman. Mm-hmm. She she's a tiny house person. She loves the tiny house. She has a 33-foot long by 8 feet wide tiny house near Sacramento. And she took her dog for a walk. And when she got back, someone had stolen her tiny house.
No.
Most of us only have to worry about someone breaking into our homes.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Melinda got her house stolen.
May have done her a
favor,
though, right?
Stole her house.
They may have done her a favor.
You take your dog for a walk, you come back, and your house is gone.
That's rough. That is sad.
It's hilarious.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
Come on, it's kind of funny.
It is kind of funny.
Right?
No, it's funny.
That's our home.
Right, but still.
But still.
No.
But I'm saying but still.
But no.
Yes.
No. I'm
saying yes.
You walk, you go around the block, you come back. Hey! My house is gone.
What if she saw it drive past her? Now that's funny.
Right.
Fine. I'm good with that. She sees it drive past her.
I don't know who did this, she said. Really? I have no idea. That's why it's so scary. But if you knew who stole your house,
yeah,
it'd be
a lot better.
Anyway, police found her house on the other side of town. Someone took her house for a joyride and then left it on the other side of town. So, all ends well that it ends well.
Right.
What
that guy said.
Shia LaBeouf. Hollywood cannibal Shia LaBeouf. Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf. He shelled out a big $750 for his wedding to Mia Goth there on Monday in Vegas. Elvis impersonator, the whole nine yards.
He went the whole $750,
He went
huh?
for the deluxe package. Wow. Only one problem. The wedding, apparently not legal.
Not legal.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, Bean.
I'm outraged.
Oh, I know.
Because maybe that means Bean's not married.
Because Bean loves ornate weddings.
He does. Mm-hmm.
First of all, can't get enough of the weddings, and he loves big engagements, too. Maybe we'll talk about that later in the hour, how much Bean loves engagements.
Yeah.
Turns out, to get married someplace, you need what's called a marriage license.
Oh, that is actually true, yes.
But doesn't the place tell you that?
Yeah.
I mean, don't they say?
Of course they do.
Okay.
Of course they do.
So he didn't actually get married.
But officials in Clark County, Nevada say there is no marriage license for the couple, no record, no request. They never bothered with that. So, in essence, it became just a commitment ceremony, as they say. So.
All right.
So now it makes sense. He's doing it for S's and giggles. And
yeah. He's effing shaky on everything
right.
he does.
So he said, just do it! And they went in and they just did it. And then it wasn't really... Didn't really matter.
When I flew to, my wife and I flew to Las Vegas to get married when we eloped, we were only on the ground in Nevada for 2 hours. Enough time to take a cab from the airport to the courthouse to get the marriage license.
I can't even get my head around that.
Then over to the Graceland Wedding Chapel for the ceremony, and then right back to the airport and right back on a plane.
Why would you
why
do
would
that?
Why would you leave? So why wouldn't you spend the night one night?
Why don't you just go down to City Hall if you just want a license and a simple ceremony? Why would you have to go to Vegas then?
There was an answer for that, and that is that, and I don't know if this is still the case, but in California, at least then, you had to get a blood test, and my wife is terrified of needles and blood. So she was trying to avoid the blood test.
Plus, she wanted to make sure that it wasn't legal.
Right.
And then in Nevada, you didn't have to do that. You could just get a license and immediately get married. So that's what we ended up doing.
And she was thinking maybe she could shake you at some point in the trip. During some leg in the trip, maybe she could duck out. She had a better shot in another city. And
I'm not sure if that's what she thought.
She
but,
sadly failed.
But when you told the Shia story, it made me think, yeah, of course. You can't just do part two. You got to do part one and part two to be married.
Of course. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chris Carter, creator of The X-Files. We love Chris.
We do.
59 years old today. Kate Walsh is 49. Sacha Baron Cohen turns 45 today. Ashanti is 36.
Caleb, she has tremendous hate in her home.
No, she doesn't. Ashanti's lovely.
Imagine how bad she smells,
she
man.
She smells lovely, I'm sure. She's beautiful
she
and
is
she smells
abject,
good.
Psychopathic
no,
demon
she's
from
not.
Hell.
She is perfectly fine. Caleb McLaughlin Lucas from Stranger Things. He's 15 years old. And former television host Billy Bush. Turns 45. I heard a rumor today that ABC is already talking to him about Dancing with the Stars.
No.
Yeah.
F that show.
Right?
F them.
Right. I say we lock the protest their ass if that happens. We show up in some big Bush shirts with lines through them.
I like it.
And we, Bush! We just yell and we storm the stage.
Done.
We don't say anything that everybody doesn't already know.
That's right. We just say, Bush! And we just run the stage. And I'm throwing an elbow at Tom, too.
I like it.
Yeah. Boom! Bows to the dough, Tom. That's what I'm saying.
Bows to what?
To the dough?
Bows to the dome!
Oh, dome.
Dome. Bergeron. I heard dome, too. Okay. Got it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show of his beat.
I'm feeling good about this.
Kevin, why did the vampire need mouthwash? Because he had bat breath.
I'm not feeling good about
this. These are Halloween jokes.
Yeah,
that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome
Thanks
to Kevin
Ashley Escada for this idea.
This was Ashley's idea, yes. Yep. We have a pair of tickets and Fright Lane passes to Not Scary Farm. This is front-of-the-line passes and unlimited priority access to all nine mazes at Not Scary Farm. This is going to be a lot of fun. 1-800-520-1067. It's time for your Halloween jokes.
Halloween jokes.
All right,
I already hate it.
I have one favor I want to ask Lauren and Abigail and Charlene and Russell and everybody on hold as we go to you is direct your jokes to Kevin. So if there's a question to be asked, be sure to start your sentence with Kevin so that then he is forced to participate in the joke.
But I hate joke. I hate.
We're going to turn you around. This is going to change your whole mind on jokes. You're going to realize you've been doing it wrong your whole life, Kevin. Who's our first contestant?
Lauren in Pasadena. Hi there.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
You have a question for Kevin?
Absolutely. Hey, Kevin, what do you call a fat jack-o'-lantern?
What do you call a fat jack-o'-lantern?
A plumpkin.
See? That's how it's done.
Listen to me. Come on now.
That's how it's done.
That's how it's done? That's what you want?
That's exactly what I want.
She wins tickets.
Allie, what do you think?
For that?
I liked it, too.
Come on. You're terrible.
And Fright Lane passes to Not Scary Farm. Thank you so much for calling, Lauren. Please hang on. Who's next?
Don't take it personally, everybody, but I hate jokes. They're poorly constructed. They're rarely funny.
Are you in charge of hanging up on these people if you don't like it?
I am.
Wow.
But I'm trying to play along.
Okay.
I mean, you guys get to overrule me if they win, because I would pick no one, except for maybe Abigail from Los Angeles. Hi, Abigail.
Hi.
You have a Halloween joke?
Kevin, what do ghosts eat for supper?
What do ghosts eat for supper?
Spookety.
That's
spookety, Kevin.
I get it, but why? Here's the weird thing about Bean. Bean is one of the funniest people I know, but never laughs. He doesn't laugh. Except for stuff like this. Yeah.
Little Abigail just laid down spookhead.
It was pretty cute.
All right. Pretty awesome.
Abigail, you win.
Yay!
Congratulations.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, Kevin, why can't boy ghosts make babies?
Let's go to Charlene in Irvine.
How dare you? Don't leave a brother hanging.
I can't
why can't boy ghosts make babies?
Hi, Charlene. How are you?
Hey.
He's a mean man. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, Charlene.
Why didn't the ghost get his girlfriend pregnant?
Why didn't the ghost get his girlfriend pregnant?
Because he had a Halloweenie.
See? Do you think I don't understand the jokes?
He had a Halloweenie.
Right. So does this person win?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Way to go, Charlene. Well done.
Unbelievable. All right, let's go to Russell. Hey, congratulations, Russell. You won.
Well, let's hear
the
show.
You don't know that. Let's hear the
show. Oh, yeah, you guys are real. You're real. What's the word I'm looking for? Discerning. You're really discerning.
Woo!
It came to me. It took
there
me about.
Smoke coming out of his ear.
It took me about 5 minutes, but I got it. All right, Russell, congratulations. You're a winner. Tell us your joke.
Kevin, I have a joke for you.
Yes.
What do ghosts wear in the car?
What do ghosts wear in a car?
Their sheet belts.
Their sheet belts! So, I guess...
Winner, winner,
Russell wins.
Winner, winner.
Bean has never been happier, and that's a weird thing.
This is pretty great.
Best
All right, let's go to David and La Mirada, who's our final winner. Hi, David.
Gee, thanks, Kev Dog.
Yeah.
Hey, Kev Dog.
Yes.
Why didn't the skeleton want to go to school?
Why didn't the skeleton want to go to school?
Because his heart wasn't in it.
What is that noise? That's David, is that you laughing?
That's him and his own laugh track. Hey, everybody, enjoy your tickets to the front lane front line pass at the Dodge Scary Farm. This has been Halloween Jokes.
Halloween Jokes, Halloween Jokes, Halloween Jokes.
Boo!
We got time for more Halloween jokes, Kevin.
Yeah, that was great.
To that.
What did the zombie say?
Don't do it, Ralph.
No. we already heard that one. We know
Come
that
on.
One, Ralph.
Some people are wondering that what the punchline is.
That was the best joke.
Thank
but
you.
We unfortunately, can't we can't put that one right there. All right. So yesterday in the show business news, bring us up to speed. Refresh my memory and the listeners as well. What was the story that got us on this topic here?
We were talking about Ryan Lochte. Yes. And we were saying, though, even he was he's a bit of a douche. And obviously, a sort of a dumbass. He did a very nice job of proposing to his Playboy Playmate girlfriend.
Okay.
He had a helicopter at the ready, choppered her up the coast of California.
Oh, here. I already know Bean's problem. Go ahead.
And when they landed, he had prepared a lovely picnic with champagne and rose petals strewn about the picnic blanket. Sounded like a well-planned, well-executed, lovely and romantic proposal. To which Bean said, really? Is it that tired old hack thing of champagne and rose petals? Isn't it enough that he's proposing to her? Isn't that the core event? Why do you need all the other stuff around it?
Isn't that the core event?
The core
he
event.
He literally said that.
Was the reference he made.
Wait, but this is the guy that loves love?
Oh, yeah. Yes. He's all about love. Every day is Valentine's Day at his house.
All right.
Look, let me tell you something. The champagne and the rose petals, all that extra stuff, doesn't add 0.5% to anything to the proposal.
Whoever said that is dead right.
You
said it. I don't know
who you're
quoting, but that guy is a genius because he's right.
And so I flipped out and I said, how can you fault a guy for making arranging the lovely details around the proposal to making it a memorable moment in a couple's life? He said, it's all necessary. And I bet if we talked to the ladies out there, they would say they're tired of all that stuff, too. And I said, bring it on.
First of all, let me speak. No one knows the ladies and what's in their hearts and minds more than me.
That's true.
We can all agree, right? Allie, how's that been your experience on the show?
Nobody respects women more than I do.
Yeah, that's exactly
Kevin, you also missed it yesterday. He said, I'm very accessible. People come up and talk to me all the time. That was said on this show.
See, the thing is that Bean is actively losing his mind.
Right. We're watching.
We're watching
the end of an era.
Yesterday was
the
magic.
The end of a person. Look, he's got like a couple of weeks left to live.
Yeah.
What's going on is this bachelorettization of America where people see this on TV and it's made out to be this big romantic gesture with the champagne and with the rose petals and with the
Why
flowers.
Why does that make you angry?
It doesn't make me angry
at all.
By
the way, it is a big romantic gesture when you ask someone to marry them.
Champagne, flowers,
he says with all the hate in his heart.
Asking someone to marry them is a big romantic gesture and needs a big romantic setting.
It is a big romantic gesture. And what I'm saying is the bulk of what's significant about that exchange, about that few minutes that goes on, is the proposal.
The core.
I don't think you're
the
adding
core
any,
event.
You're not really adding anything to it by adding champagne and roses and flowers.
That makes no sense.
Because those things are just dumb, trite artifacts.
You don't think the girl that he asked to marry him?
Maybe it's artifice. Could be that, too. But they're also artifacts. They're both.
You don't think the girl that he asked to marry him enjoyed the helicopter or the flowers or the picnic?
I had no problem with the helicopter. I mean, what are you hiding that you need to rent a helicopter to ask someone to propose you? It just seems like you're, you know, making up for something. But my point is that the other stuff is so trite at this point that I can't imagine. Look, ladies,
tell me
I'm wrong, ladies, if you want. But I think we'll find some people out there who agree with me at 1-800-520-1067.
We can always find some people who agree with you.
But if I think there are probably at this point a lot of women who go, that is old and played out and boring. And
but
it shows
what do they
no,
want
it
then,
shows no imagination whatsoever.
But what do they want then?
They want it, they want to be FedEx to ring and text the proposal. That's what they want. They want Bean to the just get to the core event.
No, but what I'm saying is, isn't it boring at this point?
No, it's lovely. It's like saying,
it's not.
Oh, you know what? I'm so, what are those boring people putting up trees every year for Christmas? It's so played out. Every year they put up a tree and they
That's
put presents
point.
Under it for Christmas. Oh, what a boring, played out, thoughtless gesture that is. Why don't they get more creative with their Christmas celebrations?
But look, if almost everybody does the flowers, for instance, and the champagne, then it doesn't mean anything.
That's ridiculous.
It literally doesn't mean
anything. No one's ever
anymore.
Done it for you before. It means everything because no matter how many people have done champagne and roses in their engagements beforehand, this is uniquely your engagement. So no one's ever done it for this couple before.
But there's nothing unique about it if you've
it's
seen
them.
It and heard about it from every single person you've ever
but
known.
But they don't have to reinvent
engaged.
The wheel. It's like saying no one else should have cake on their birthday because everyone else has cake with candles on.
Yeah, but cake is really
it's
good.
It's played though. Out though, right?
Cake is super.
That lazy old cake baker.
Let's talk to Female Bean, also known as Jenny.
I'm just saying that if I were a woman, I would look around and go, why are you wasting my time with this boring-ass
right.
roses and champagne thing?
If you were a woman, by the way, you wouldn't have to worry about anyone proposing to you.
Well, that's probably true. All right, what's Jenny talking about?
Hey, Jenny.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having my call.
Of course.
I agree with Bean.
Okay, thanks for calling.
I don't think it's necessary to have all the extras. I think it's necessary to just ask her.
Well, right. Of course it's not necessary.
We're not saying it's necessary. I mean, we're just saying, isn't it nice to have a little more thought put into it? That's all.
I don't think so. I mean, I would rather a little more thought go into the actual marriage. My husband said to me, 11 years ago, so you wanna? And we got married.
He said, so you wanna?
Yeah.
That was his proposal. So you wanna?
He was asking to bone. You know that, right?
Oh, what a huge mistake he made 11 years ago.
But let me that just to keep it on that topic, Jenny. So had he prepared something with flowers and with champagne and with rose petals and all of that, would it have made any difference? Would it have been better or worse for you?
You know, it probably would have freaked me out because that's not him. And I'd have been like, oh, my God, what'd you
What if he used the words Mary and me in his proposal?
Instead of, hey, you want to?
Should
we?
All right, Jenny. Thank you for the call. Right. Appreciate that. Let's go to Kristen, LA Line 3. She's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right. Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
Help
How's
us.
It going?
Help us, please.
Uh-oh, I don't like the sound of that voice.
Wow.
I feel like this is not going to go
she's
well
angry.
For me.
I'm not sure who she's angry at.
What's
Let's
up,
find
Kristen?
Out.
Okay.
No, I'm not angry at all.
Okay.
But first of all, like, all of the wedding stuff is so over the top.
Agreed.
I agree. I totally agree.
But we're talking about the proposal. The proposal.
By the way, I don't think roses and a bottle of champagne is that crazy, by the way. I don't think it's not bungee jumping or anything. It's not
it's not
skywriting.
Now skywriting, that's the way to do it.
Okay, the proposal is so ridiculous, and it's so beside the point. Like, we've gotten away from all of it. And really what you're doing is deciding that you're going to spend your lives together. And suddenly it's like a circus of crap. Like, you can quote me.
Are you a single lady, Kristen?
No, I'm married.
Oh, poor bastard.
Poor guy.
Man, that dude's in trouble.
So you're saying, it sounds to me like what you're saying is rather than add to the experience of the proposal, you think it takes away from it?
I just think that it adds.
Bean
a layer
said
of,
a leading question.
No. I'm trying to distill what her point is.
So you're saying that
I'm not
takes
trying
away
to,
from.
I'm not trying to put words in her mouth. I just want her to clarify before we have to go.
Yes, I totally agree with you, Bean. I never thought I would say this, but I really do.
It takes away from the proposal with all the accoutrement.
It does. Like, let's just get to the heart of the proposal.
Oh, you're a charming lady.
I think people are confusing what Bean said, which was flowers and champagne. I think people are calling in like, I don't need a flash mob. I don't need all of that.
Well, yeah,
no, we're talking
saying.
About champagne and roses.
I just think those are
minimum.
Boring, played out props that no woman would look at her man and go, wow, that's awesome that you did that.
Kristen, you don't ever like to get flowers?
I think flowers are amazing, but I also think flowers are great on any day of the week.
And also proposals.
That can
so
be on a day of the
it's
week.
Not it's not a limit.
So you're saying 364 days you love flowers, but when he's proposing.
No way.
Nope.
Just get to it. Get to the point. What is your point, guy with ring in your hand? Why are you on a knee?
it to me.
Kristen, thank you for the call. 1-800-520.
He lives with her every day.
He's a lucky man. She's only a lovely lady.
She's the worst.
We'll take your calls next on this topic when we return on Cable.
That's a peppy number. That's a get up and go for a Thursday right there. That's a hi, how you doing?
Yep. If you're just joining us here on the Kevin DeBean Show, we're taking your phone calls. Please don't misrepresent what I'm saying here. It's all about the love. I understand. It's all about the proposal.
Sure. Mr. Romance.
I am Mr. Romance. Thank you, Ralph. That's what I'm well known as. The only thing I'm saying is that my theory was, and we're taking your calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. It looks like we have all ladies on the phone, so that's good. My theory was that women at this point, I can't imagine, are impressed by the roses and the champagne and those sorts of props that go along with almost every modern proposal, because there's nothing original about it. It doesn't even seem romantic at this point. It's just a cliche is how I look at it. And I want to find out if I'm right about that. And that's why we're taking some calls. And we can go wherever you want to get started here, Kevin.
All right. Let's go with Brittany in Fountain Valley. Hi, Brittany.
Hi, you guys.
What's up, Britt?
So I think it's totally circumstantial. Like, I kind of get what Bean's saying. But at the same time, girls like a good grandiose thing sometimes. Like, for instance, my fiance, when he proposed to me, we had already planned a trip to Japan, and he thought it out for like a full-on year, where he planned it and timed it so that we could go to this place called the Hitachi Seaside Garden, where there's literally every flower you can imagine along the coast.
Cliche, cliche.
Flowers are cliche, Brittany.
Cliche.
These flowers only bloom like 3 months or 3 weeks of the year.
Boring.
Him and I.
Flowers are boring.
It was so romantic.
Look, this is very different. What she's talking about is a destination proposal at a special place. It's not the same as somebody going down and ripping up a rose and throwing it on a bed that's been done a million times before.
Who does that? Who just rips up a rose and throws it on a bed?
A lot of people, they cover the bed or they cover the path or the stairs or whatever with rose petals. And if I were a woman, I would just look at that and go, do you have an original thought in your mind? One.
Okay. So then I also have to say that, like, his previous plan, though, what he was planning before, I would completely agree with. Super cliche, super corny, not him, and I probably would have laughed in awkwardness.
Okay, like, but you appreciated the effort that he put into his proposal.
Absolutely. Okay. And I think it just shows.
So you think men should plan trips to Japan before they propose to someone? That's what you're saying.
Yes, every woman should go to Japan.
Yeah. I think I'd like you to go there now.
Very reasonable, Brittany. Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Brittany.
Let's go to line one, Sherman Oaks. Let's get Marilyn on, find out what she's talking about.
Hey, Marilyn.
Hi.
Hi. What's flowers are cliche.
Flowers and champagne. Roses and champagne, awful for a proposal.
No, not at all. Roses and champagne are sweet. I think it's really cute. I think, like, if roses and champagne aren't your thing, though, do something. Like, you only get to propose to hopefully once. You should make it special.
But wow. I'm asking her. That's the core event.
Look, I don't have – again, I didn't have any problem with anybody putting some effort into their proposal. I'm just saying don't do that. That's the only thing I'm saying. But you disagree. You would be happy with chocolates and with roses and with champagne, all the boring things that every one of your friends already has.
Why are those things bad?
I just want to make sure you're down for boring, right?
If chocolate and flowers and champagne is something that he doesn't usually do and then he does it, I think it's sweet.
Whatever
the effort is. Like, my brother-in-law arranged a proposal for my sister. He got her agent in on it. They went in to read a scene for a script, but actually it was his proposal. And then afterwards he surprised her and had, like, our whole family at dinner waiting. It was
so nice.
So it's just effort. That's just what you're looking for is effort.
Right.
And you have a low bar for effort if buying chocolate
is counts. You're the worst, Bean.
All right, can we talk to Megan?
Can anything traditional attached to any event be considered boring? Christmas trees, birthday cakes, Valentine's cards, any of that? Do you dismiss all of that?
Doesn't bother. None of those things bother me.
Why? That's like the same thing.
Ralph's
examples are exactly the same.
For hundreds of years, people have been using wreaths and Christmas trees. You don't find that boring and cliche?
That's Jesus, first of all right? Hey, can we talk to Nadine real quick before we run out of time? She's on line seven. I just want to get through because I'm told she's crazy, and I want to make sure we have time for crazy.
All right. Hey, Nadine.
Good morning, guys. I agree with Bean. Take back my green card and send me back to Jamaica. It's a rare event, but he's right. It's like the bachelorization of America. It's like literally 20 local businesses knew about the engagement before the girl did. The helicopter guy, the permit guy, the roses girl. Forget it.
Wait, so because other people knew about it before the girl did, that makes it not okay?
It's ridiculous. It's like, oh, I saw it on TV. You know she mentioned it to him once or twice. It's okay. Not like she's the original idea, but
she's with Bean,
top.
You guys.
Yeah, she's on Bean.
Yeah, that's
Bean. These right? are my people. Yep. Nadine is my people.
Bean, you are just like Bean. You guys are exactly
my
alike.
My engagement was a regular movie night with Tiger Lily Rose.
Oh, you got engaged. Wow. Come on, you got engaged.
A regular night at the movies.
That Nadine, come on, take it easy.
Regular night at the movies. And it's nice they have movies there at the facility.
And your imaginary husband's name what?
He's like, here's the ring and these tiger lilies. And I was blown away. Yeah.
Okay. I got Nadine, thank you for calling, but I got to go rethink my position.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Well, let's hear his show.
You don't know that.
Oh,
please. Show. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you guys are real. You're real. What's the word I'm looking for? Discerning. You're really discerning. Woo!
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Wow. I look at that as a success. I got the word.
You did find the word. I love how time stands.
How about putting her microphone on? Is that a success? Is that a success when Allie's microphone's turned on?
I feel like it's not.
A lot of people would feel like it was.
No, that was a mistake. My bad.
In those few seconds where Kevin is struggling for the word, isn't it interesting how time just stands still?
Sure does.
We just hold our breath and we just wait and we just see where it goes.
Usually I just barrel through anyway and just try to pass it off. But this time I waited for the word to come and it came.
Because you're now smart, Kevin, ever since you got the hole drilled into your skull.
They let the demons out of your head by drilling a hole in your skull and letting the bad spirits out.
It is crazy how sharp Kevin is.
Right?
When Kevin goes up like that and there's silence around him, he's thinking about something, it's like watching Jordan dunk. Like when he's in the air, it just seems like it's forever in slow motion. And then, boom! It just goes through the rim, and the crowd goes crazy. It's that kind of vibe.
I don't feel that way.
We have a conversation coming up with Dr. Drew as he joins us every Thursday just after tonight. And am I exaggerating it, Ralph? If I say that it's a conversation that literally could save lives.
Yes, correct.
Literally could save lives.
He asked me, man, not you.
My bad.
Yes, correct.
All right, and that's on the way right off the top of the hour. First, Robin's here with the Showbiz Beat for a Thursday.
For a paltry $35 million, you can own everything that's in the music vault that Prince left behind after his death.
Wow.
Okay.
Want it?
Yeah.
What's in there?
That's the thing.
I mean, don't we need to know before we pay?
It's the mystery vault. You don't know. It's Prince music. How bad can it be? Look, the guy created song after song after song, album after album after album. It's literally hundreds and hundreds of finished, completely polished, recorded songs by Prince. They're just sitting in a vault. He would record them and then just put them away. Wouldn't release them.
He is famous for recording sessions where he'd make an album, but he would record 80 extra songs.
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
I need it.
Would you pay $35 million for it? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
$35 million. But wait, there's more!
What?
I don't know if there is or not. Oh. Just like Kevin was setting up, would you pay $35 million for this? Apparently the estate is now entertaining offers from all three major recording labels, or anyone else who can afford the price tag, but they're talking to Warner Brothers and a bunch of other major record labels to see if anybody wants to buy all the previously unheard Prince music for the low, low price of $35 million.
I mean, I don't know financially these days how that works out for them, but look how many unreleased songs Tupac left behind and how much money was generated from all those recordings dribbling out over the course of the last 10 years.
Right.
Oh, somebody will buy it.
Paparazzi are very far away. They're way over there in the bushes. Joe Jonas. Remember famously he and his brothers were the abstinence kids?
Yeah.
They had their abstinence rings.
Yeah,
and
purity
were
rings.
Purity
sure.
rings, and they were pro... No Bono.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers are assholes!
No Bono!
They weren't pro Bono.
Stop it!
Come on.
They were pro No Bono.
I loved it.
Thank you so much. Well, now Joe Jonas is telling a story of how he lost his virginity. He was 20 years old when he lost his virginity.
I think we know how he lost his virginity.
Why would we know that?
Because, didn't he have sex with a girl?
Yeah, it was more to the story than
more
that.
More to the story than that.
Oh, okay. All right, let's hear it.
He was 20 years old, and he said he had to trash his drummer's room looking for a condom because he didn't have any because he wasn't a boner.
Okay.
So he had to find one to use for his first time, and then he did the very unclassy thing of announcing who it was that he slept with, who he lost his virginity to. It was Twilight star Ashley Greene.
which is bragging, really, just on his part.
Yeah,
I think.
Agreed.
Yeah. So Ashley, apparently not too pleased with this revelation. She Instagrammed this week after he announced during a Reddit AMA on Tuesday about their tryst.
Wow.
She Instagrammed, "Class is timeless." She Instagrammed. Mm-hmm. So there you go, Joe Jonas. But Joe Jonas, he's an asshole, right?
I mean, that's a very uncool thing.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
Yeah, thank you. That's what I thought.
This was locker room talk.
It was.
It was. It's not proper.
Yeah.
It's not good talk, Donald. When's the last time Donald was in a locker room, you think?
Never.
Never.
Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Caleb McLaughlin.
Oh, Caleb McLaughlin. Oh.
I hope he's fighting Conor McGregor.
He's Lucas from Stranger Things.
Oh, that's right.
He's just 15 years old today. Ashanti's 36. They got to make that Stranger Things season 2 quick, right? Because those kids are going to start growing up, and it looks weird.
Yeah.
It gets weird when the kids start changing mid-series. It's weird.
It's weird.
Yeah. DJ Paul from 3-6 Mafia is 39 years old today. I got two Clippers on the list here. Can you believe that? Not one, but two.
Are they starters?
Paul Pierce.
Okay.
39.
Legit. Well,
legit. I mean, all right.
Coach Doc Rivers, 55 today.
All right.
Wait.
Allie allows him because they're both former Celtics.
Oh, I thought Paul Pierce was going to finish out in Boston. No? Am I crazy?
He is, but he's going to play this season with the Clippers, and then when he retires, he's going to sign a one-day contract with the Boston Celtics and retire as a Celtic.
Wow.
There's your Clipper update. Dave does one thing.
Yeah.
Right. Pays attention to one part of the show.
That's the only thing he gets right.
All of a sudden, he's filibustering. He's got all the answers.
What's up?
Thanks, Dave.
Sacha Baron Cohen's 45 years old today. The lovely and talented Kate Walsh is 49. And former television host Billy Bush is celebrating a birthday today. He's 45 years old today. Just locker room talk.
Yep.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Am I the only one, every time I see Mike Pence on TV, I think he looks exactly like Dr. Drew? Has anyone else noticed that?
No.
Nope. I mean, is it just me? Am I crazy?
I have not noticed that.
Dr. Drew, has anyone told you they think you look like Mike Pence and vice versa?
No one except about 20,000 Twitter followers.
Ah. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's really, you guys really do look a lot alike.
Yeah, and I don't know whether to be sort of, and to me, he looks like George Washington, so I don't know whether to be.
maybe that's so a little insulting.
Really bad.
Dr. Drew joins us every week at this time, of course, the Dr. Drew podcast, Dr. Drew Midday Live with Mike Catherwood on KABC from noon till 3. And I think you are really going to be glad you're on with us today, because I literally think we could save some lives here, because we've got Exhibit A here, Young Beer Mug, in studio with us. And a conversation came up a couple of weeks ago, Doc, that we can't wait to talk to you about. Muggs, what was it? Recap for us what we were talking about.
Well, it was just the news just hit that Ben Stiller revealed that he had prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. And I was telling the guys in the meeting that I had a doctor attempt to check my prostate one time. And I was out. I was done. And I never, ever want to have to go through that again. I'd rather...
Now, wait. So what do you mean by attempt? Did he...
He started to put his finger...
Right.
Okay. Careful.
Yes. And I was up. Oh, that is... It was...
And you stopped it?
Yeah. I was like, I'm done.
It was shocking. You didn't know it was coming?
No, he told me. But the pain that I experienced, it felt like somebody had a hot iron.
So, Muggs, hold on a sec. So you were getting out of your car at a Costco parking lot, and this crazy man just came up to you and attacked you?
No, it was during one of my physicals.
Oh, it was during a physical at a doctor's office?
Yes.
And with a medical professional?
Yes. But
And you ran out?
I didn't run out, but I quickly put the kibosh on what he was doing.
Because it is illegal, immoral, and wrong?
It did not feel good, is what I'm saying.
It's not supposed to feel great.
Listen.
Dr. Drew, he put the kibosh on it.
I can't.
All right. First of all, let me just remind people, if they want information about prostate cancer, go to Prostate Cancer Foundation, or PCF.org.
Or now, you can follow at Beer Mug on Twitter.
Now, let me say, Mug, you're a father, right?
Yes, sir.
You puss. You have an obligation now to take care of your health, because you're responsible for somebody else, right?
I know that, Drew, but listen, it's 2016, and there's been so many advances in modern medicine. Is there any other way that you guys can check our prostate other than with your finger?
It does seem like there's been a lack of growth in that area.
Look,
it does seem like an old.
It's all kinds of unpleasantness we have to do as physicians. It doesn't always feel good. This is not some Elizabethan torture, Muggs. Every male gets to go through this. I'm telling you, you're a puss. And you need to get your... Oh, I almost swore here.
Your ass together.
But let's talk about whether it's necessary enough. There is a blood test. Obviously, the blood test is an important component of this, called the PSA. That's what Ben Stiller... I actually helped Ben through this whole process of his surgery and whatnot.
Oh, no kidding.
And he's had when I announced that I have prostate cancer and had a big surgery, he immediately called me and said, you're not going to believe this.
But wow.
I just was diagnosed. And
Put the kibosh on it as well?
No, he allowed his doctor to do his or her job. And, come on now. And he's going to survive long-term because of it from an illness that could have killed him because he's got a reasonably aggressive cancer at a very young age. Now, Mux, here's the deal. How old are you?
33.
All right. So it's young to begin screening for this, unless you had some particular genetic, like Lynch syndrome or something that really put you at risk for cancers. You might start screening in your at least 40. So you got a couple years to think about this. Before you can puss out of it.
Thank God.
Yeah. So, but at that point, if you have a first-degree relative with prostate cancer, particularly, again, also other kinds of cancers, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, colon cancer, you might be in a category that might be at some excess risk. I'm in favor, and this is a controversial issue, because there's some theory out there that we might be over-diagnosing people and over-screening. But look, there's something now called active surveillance you can go on. I actually went on a 3-year surveillance program before I had my surgery. So you can be just watched for a while if it's a low-grade tumor. Information is always better. That at least with the information, we can make good discerning decisions about what to do in your particular case. And Muggs, dude, you're a dad. Come on now.
Okay,
Dr. Drew, you have given some great advice here, but I have a bunch of questions that are just flooding out of me right now, and I have to ask, first of all, you are a guy who is very in touch with his health and obviously lives a very healthy lifestyle. I don't know if that matters with prostate cancer. You're the guy who got checked when you were supposed to get checked by your physician. How come you still got prostate cancer?
Because cancer just happens.
Oh, my God, Bean!
What kind of question
is that? Do you not understand how diseases work?
It's a good question, because a lot of people would think you will avoid prostate cancer if you're vigilant.
Also, a lot of people feel that if they got cancer of any type, it must be something that they did or something they could have controlled. Here's the thing with prostate cancer. Every male in my family has prostate cancer. So I knew I was going to get it. I thought I was going to get it in my 70s like everybody else, and I didn't. I got a little bit earlier, and that just happened. It just does.
Now, okay.
The reality is, I was not a good patient.
The finger doesn't prevent it, Bean.
No. Wow, Kevin,
I know that.
Advocating for it.
I'm just saying. I'm trying to figure out how Bean thought that you wouldn't get it because you were tested.
I got to tell you, I'm more interested in Mug's perianal pathology, that he felt this was like a hot poker.
It was the most unpleasant thing I've ever experienced in my life.
We all know that, Muggs. We all know it's unpleasant.
But
none of us look forward to it.
But hold on. Maybe he's got butt issues. Like, maybe there's something wrong here.
That's what I'm saying. Does he? Are you suffering from hemorrhoids?
I've maybe had one or two until I got my butt steamed here live on air.
I don't like that.
at all about any of this conversation.
But the fact, Drew, the fact that my Papa Muggs has actually had prostate cancer.
Your dad.
My dad.
Oh, then maybe early screenings is good in your case.
Right, so when I asked if anybody in your family had cancer and you said no.
Oh.
Just his father.
Just my dad, yeah.
So no one close to you.
No one except your dad. Okay. Yeah. How old was he when he was diagnosed?
He was 74.
And the reality about prostate cancer is essentially 100% of males will get prostate cancer by age 100.
Is that true?
Yeah. It's one of those things.
Wow.
It's just something about the way our prostate cells work, that the DNA repair mechanisms break down as we age for everybody. It's something to do with androgens and our hormones and whatnot.
But it's easily treatable if you catch it, right?
Yeah, at 70, sometimes you don't even have to treat it at all. Or 80, you wouldn't treat it. And at 70, you might turn just some external beam radiation. But at my age, or even younger, like Ben Stiller, you're going to have a surgery, because that tends to be a more serious situation.
Okay, let me ask you a follow-up on Ben Stiller before we run out of time. He had his prostate removed, right?
Same as me. Exactly.
Okay, and how does that affect his life, other than the ghost sperm that you've already told us about in your case?
That's it.
That's it.
That's the only difference.
Oh, so lucky.
Yeah. He's had a...
It's the best.
From the women in the audience. It's the... Yeah, that's the only thing. And that's what you hope for. You know, people are saying, oh, you know, we're ruining men's sex life by having all these surgeries. No, zero effect other than the ghost semen.
Okay, so in other words, it's not like testicular cancer where it might affect your testosterone or anything like that. Doesn't have any effect
really
on that. Okay.
Zero. Now, a little bit of urinary stuff sometimes, but it's just minor.
Okay, so the takeaway for Beer Mug and other guys out there who just can't wrap their heads around letting a guy put his finger there is that just suck it up. It takes 10 seconds, and it literally could save your life. You have no choice. You have to do it.
And a blood test. Certainly at 50, that is the case. At 40 for Mug because of his dad, I would say. And listen, African-American men particularly, they get more aggressive cancer. They're diagnosed earlier. They have more complications. They're less likely to get screened. So please, gentlemen, or women that are involved with those men, get them screened.
Dr. Drew has completely revamped his website. It looks great. Check it out at drdrew.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Dr. Drew. Listen for him this afternoon with Mike Catherwood on 790 KABC between noon and 3 and drdrew.com for all the podcasts and live appearances. Great to visit today, Doc. Thanks for coming on.
Also, I'll be in Vegas tonight with Heather Dubrow. Crazy. So at the,
no kidding.
At the House of Blues. So crazy.
Yeah, all right, man. Have fun.
All right, thanks. Bye.
I think Bean went to medical school. Tomorrow's show, Bean has a tenuous grasp of illness. Our new segment.
God. You think that's possible?
Look,
that actually went to medical school.
No one is more perplexed by how the human body gets sick than Bean is.
He said to Dr. Drew,
okay,
"You were
we all
checked.
Heard it. Let's move
let me,
on.
Let me finish. You were checked.
You were checked. You live a healthy lifestyle, and you got checked for prostate cancer.
So how did you get it?
How did you get it? As if by the act of being screened meant that you would never get it.
It's preventative.
Well, it didn't prevent
me. You got a mammogram
well,
once. How did you get breast cancer?
You guys don't get it.
I don't
it.
Like the way heart attacks just stop.
He was on stage one day, and the next day he had a heart attack. How is that possible? You don't understand illness at all.
You may be...
One day I was fine, and the next day I started sneezing, and I had a cough. How did that happen?
You guys are fine with people getting sick and dying. Maybe
what is this
I'm
head
not.
Cold?
Maybe I.
No, we're just clear that it happens.
People.
We know how it happens.
I don't like it.
It's biology.
I don't like it.
My foot
like
was
one
fine
bit.
Yesterday. Then I dropped a heavy bowling ball on it, and now there's a fracture in one of the bones. How can that happen?
It's time for a final.
I just think you're terrific.
All right, dude. Thank you very much. Here's Ralph Garman.
For a pretty smart guy, he's confused in the ways of illness.
I don't know. Approve.
And not complicated illness.
Nope.
I don't approve. It's irrelevant.
I don't like it.
I had water yesterday, and yet today I'm thirsty all over again. What's going on?
I don't
approve
my body.
Of this. He doesn't understand the body.
It's just words, folks. It's just words.
Hey, look, do me a favor. I don't ask a lot of you, right? So do me a favor. Come on out and see Hollywood Babylon sometime. Like maybe tomorrow night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. Me and Kevin Smith on stage, cracking wise. We all have a good time. I think you will, too. So come on out tomorrow night, 10 p.m.
No.
The Improv on Melrose. Go to improv.com to get your tickets. And speaking of tickets, this is pretty cool. Have you guys seen the trailer for Ouija, the Origin of Evil?
Yes.
Ouija, Origin of Evil.
You are all going to die tonight.
It's like
doesn't
a prequel to Ouija, which was terrifying in its own right. It's like a sequel prequel. It's a pre-sequel. It's a prequel.
I don't think that's a thing.
It is now.
Okay.
Henry Thomas stars in this. Kevin, of course, remember Henry Thomas as?
The guy that built the Model Ford.
Because he shares the name Henry?
Honestly, I don't know.
Oh, the famous Model Ford.
That's what I was trying to figure out.
That car. The Model Ford. or an A. There's lots of models. I don't remember a Model Ford. Henry Thomas, Kevin, played
E.T.
Elliot in the movie E.T.
Thank
That's
you.
Right. Thank you for what? You said E.T., which was wrong. He played Elliot in the movie E.T.
Right, I'm saying he was in E.T. I got it.
So if Chip's going to feed you the answer, she needs
she
to be
did.
More specific.
Not That's that
right.
one.
Elizabeth Reaser, Doug Jones, great, great cast. Look, you want to see this. And I've got tickets to the advanced screening that we're doing via K-Rock of Ouija, Origin of Evil, this Tuesday.
the AMC Burbank 16. If you'd like to go, why don't you give me a call right now? 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through. We got a pair of passes to our advanced screening of Ouija, Origin of Evil. Allie, have you ever used a Ouija board?
I know this will shock you. Yes.
What?
Yes, indeed, I have.
I'm stunned.
I know.
What kind of things did you ask last time you used a Ouija board?
A lot of yes or no questions, but
are
also...
Are there any spirits here?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, what's the spirit's name? And then it would spell out a name, and super fun.
That is fun.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Might be true. Yeah.
It is kind of weird, you gotta admit. When you put your fingertips on that indicator,
how
it starts,
right?
starts to move around the board,
weird.
It's pretty weird. Gotta say, it's pretty weird. Just saying.
I've never really done it.
You've never been on a Ouija board. What?
Never have.
What kind of childhood did you have?
I had a great childhood.
How empty and barren your childhood
it's still going
must
on.
Have been. That's true. It's a never ending. We know that much. Janet Jackson is pregnant. This is for real. She's having her first child at the age of 50.
Wow.
Wow.
Right? Mm. We thank God for our blessing, Janet. Released a statement saying she has canceled her Unbreakable tour so she can start a family with her husband, Wissam Almana. No word when she is due. This will be her first child, but 50, that's something else.
So, one day she was not pregnant, and the next day she was pregnant. How does that... She got no warning.
I don't approve.
How does that... She went to a gynecologist once. How did she get pregnant?
Understand. I don't approve. I don't like it.
Ken Bone. He is, of course, the viral internet sensation in the red sweater who asked a question of the candidates at Sunday night's presidential debate. He is famous now because he's lovable. He's a lovable little pudgy ball of sweater.
Right? It doesn't hurt that his name is Ken Bone.
Does not hurt. I think that's another reason people picked
right.
up
Ken Bone
on
right.
his persona on the internet. And now he has a chance to make some money. He's being offered $100,000 to do a porn film called The Bone Zone.
All right, Ken Bone does this. Do you watch?
Oh,
right?
No.
The answer has to be yes.
No, it doesn't have to be at all.
Sort of does.
I mean, I'm torn with leaning towards not.
I'm not saying the whole thing, but I'm saying you gotta.
What part are you gonna watch then? Just when he gets it out? When he drops his drawers?
Just saying,
what part are you
Ken
watching?
Ken Bone makes a porn. You got to check it out.
No,
you don't have a
don't.
Choice.
Who's his partner? Who's his co-star?
Does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
Whoever the hottest chick in the world is, that's his
that
co-star.
That makes a big difference. Right. Then right. I lean towards yes.
All right.
I gotta.
If it's Mama June, then
Bean,
I'm
right
in the other way.
I'm right, Bean.
I think Kevin is right, and I'll
Boom.
Tell you why. And I say that with mixed feelings because I got burned by the woman who was on Maury because she looked like Ted Cruz. Remember she made a porn?
You got burned? Did you? You got burned by her? Couldn't see that coming, could you?
What?
Really? You were surprised?
What?
All right, now I don't want you on my side.
You were surprised that she wasn't as sexy as you thought she was going to be?
And I thought, well, I got to check. I would have the Kevin mindset. I got to check this out. How can I not check it out?
Because you don't have a choice.
She's a woman who looks like Ted Cruz, and now they're paying her to do it.
He got burned by it. It felt like somehow he got it with a bait and switch.
He had high expectations.
Yeah, right. Hey, wait a minute. This isn't what I expected at all.
I thought this would be
hot. This is a deeply attractive woman who looks like Ted Cruz having sex here.
It was a mistake. It was not worth it, and I wish it hadn't happened.
Right,
so
but Ken Bone.
I feel like I might be sucked in and say yes.
You
have
to.
I might look at that, too.
You have a choice.
Then I would regret it again.
Yes, you would. That's true. You would also regret it, but you have to watch it.
Any word from Mr. Bone about whether he's going to accept the offer?
No word yet from the Bone camp. But I'll keep you posted.
Ken Bone.
If we hear from the boner, as he's known by
Is that what
his friends. Yeah. Speaking of which, I just want to give you an update. The sexy Ken Bone Halloween costume that was available at Yandy.com. It was Mr. Bone's now iconic red Izod sweater and a white cropped undershirt and mustache and glasses, even
Pretty
the microphone
sweet stash.
For the ladies. For just $100 is already sold out. Sorry, ladies who plan on going as sexy Ken Bone to your office Halloween party, but all sold out.
Bean, you watched the porn of the woman that looked like Ted Cruz?
I got burned.
Well, again, you just want to tune in and just get the feel of it.
I don't think I would have to get the feel of that at all.
I didn't plan my evening around it and, you know, and spend all night with it. I'm just saying I just wanted to see the first part, and it was a mistake.
Stop doing that.
She looks like Ted Cruz.
Stop. Please stop now.
It's not going to deter me.
Look.
I'm going to Sally Ford.
All of us make poor choices on the internet. You guys know that.
There's no question about that.
I'm going to press on, regardless of how disappointed with this film so far.
I can't stop.
It'll get better.
I'm just going to...
It'll turn around. I have faith.
I'm just going to think of something else.
I did have some notes for her if she asked.
Today's celebrity birthdays, L.A. Clippers head coach Glenn Doc Rivers celebrates his 55th birthday today. Stupid name, Glenn.
I did hear a guy say that.
He did say that.
That's ridiculous.
Paul Pierce, speaking of Clippers, 39 years old today. Kate Walsh is 49. Sacha Baron Cohen's 45, as is former TV personality Billy Bush. He's 45 as well. Ashanti's,
I'd like to 30, punch him in the face.
Right? I know, Bobby. Ashanti's 36, and Caleb McLaughlin from Stranger Things is 15. Chris Carter, our buddy who created the X-Files, he is 59 years old today.
That music just takes you right back.
Why don't you whistle along, Kevin? I'm Ralph Garn. I walk the show's beat.
Thank you, Ralph, on your drive home today. Let's do a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour. A random act of helpfulness from the SoCal helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show, a brand-new internet roundup. We've got the movie beat because it's Friday. We've got R.J. Bell from Las Vegas giving his picks for the NFL Week 6. And we've got your tickets for Green Day tomorrow as well.